All right, we're about ready to kick off another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast. Got a few notes I wanted to go ahead and run by you guys before we go ahead and start the show. First of all, we just did a special episode that completely focused on the brand new trailer for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that was just released. I wanted to make sure you guys knew about that, just in case you hadn't caught that yet. It's just a kind of a shorter episode that's only about that trailer. We kind of released it impromptu because we had a lot of things to discuss about it, and Jonathan and I wanted to get together and just kind of hash out all of our feelings about that trailer. In that particular episode, we make a lot of mentions about the movie coming out in May, and it turns out that film actually comes out in August, so wanted to make that quick correction real quick. I know several of you guys have actually contacted me to correct me, and I appreciate that. We both totally misread or just misremembered the information. So the Ninja Turtles movie comes out in August. Trailer has just been released, and Jonathan and I discussed it for about a good 40 minutes, so make sure you guys track down that episode and check it out. Also wanted to bring that up because in the episode you're about to listen to, we actually recorded this before that trailer was released, so we're going to talk about Ninja Turtles just a little bit in here, and it may not match up with our feelings now, or what the way, you know, because I think we're going to reference not seeing a trailer and stuff like that, so don't get confused when you're listening. It's a little bit, you're going a little bit back in time, I guess, because we recorded this episode about a week before that trailer came out. Nonetheless, I hope you guys enjoy this installment. It's a lot of fun. We've got our good friend Ryan back on as a special guest, and we're going to talk about all kinds of cool stuff like his experience with the Oscars, and of course, we're going to have a huge focus on the Veronica Mars series and movie. Now, before we get into the actual podcast itself, I do want to take a moment to give a shout-out to our sponsor over at NerdRageToys.com. Nerd Rage Toys has an amazing selection of toys and action figures for all you collectors out there. So if you're looking for some cool new things to add to your toy shelf, these are definitely the guys you need to be checking out. They have some amazing pre-orders available right now featuring stuff like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers SH Figure Arts, the Batman Arkham Origins figures, and they even have pre-orders now available for the brand new Funko Reaction figure line, such as the Back to the Future figures, done on that cool vintage 3¾-inch scale. You can catch all of those right now available for pre-order over at NerdRageToys.com. Another reason I love this site so much is because not only do they get a good selection of new toys, but they have an amazing selection of vintage action figures as well. And these guys have everything from the most well-known stuff like Ghostbusters and G.I. Joe and Masters of the Universe, all the way to some of that lesser-known stuff like the Food Fighters and Crystar. Lots of great action figures for amazing prices available at NerdRageToys.com. And you know what? Another amazing thing going on? Free shipping on all orders over $75. That's right. Not only do these guys have a $6.95 flat shipping rate, but if you go over $75, the shipping charge is free. That's amazing. So get over to NerdRageToys.com, load up on some new toys, add them to your toy shelves. That's NerdRageToys.com.
Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geek Easy.
Welcome back to another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast, the podcast where we get together and have some geek-tastic conversations about movies and toys and whatever we want to talk about. That's what we do on this show. My name is Pixel Dan, and of course, as always, I am joined by my co-host, Jonathan Leonard.
Hey, howdy.
What's going on, John?
The same old stuff. Don't sleep much, work too much, all that kind of thing, having fun.
That sounds like what I do.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You do a lot more work than I do, though. Like, a lot.
A lot?
Yeah.
I don't know about it. Well, maybe, I guess.
Yeah, I'm looking around at your studio here. You do a lot more work than
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, a little too much, probably. And Jonathan and I actually have a special guest joining us once again.
Who dat?
He's that red carpet walking stud muffin known as Ryan Needham. What's up, Ryan?
What's going on, guys?
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. Just
awesome.
Checking out your new basement with all your
Did you just call him a stud
toys?
Muffin?
I did.
That's okay.
Red carpet walking
red
stud.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, you'll have to explain that.
There
later.
Are pictures on the internet
that's right.
of our boy here,
I know,
Kurt
I gotta,
Russell.
Yeah.
On the red carpet at the Oscars.
For sure.
By on the internet, I mean my Twitter feed.
There, yeah. Exactly.
Well, we're for sure going to talk about that, because we got to hear about your experience at the Oscars.
Absolutely.
But why don't we go ahead and start things off like we typically do with some geek movie news, because there's been some new things popping up since the last episode, and I think we'll go ahead and start with what's being billed as the final Amazing Spider-Man 2 trailer. How many have there been now?
There's, like 30.
Yeah, at least 30.
Well, because they've done trailers, they've done behind the scenes, they've done clips, they've done whatever. But, more power to them.
Exactly.
It's been cool stuff.
They're being smart about it. They're going head-to-head with Marvel right now, and they're doing the same formula.
Yeah.
And it seems like every time something Marvel comes out with something, Sony's over there like, okay, we gotta do
I know,
something
right?
else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We gotta pump out something else. But it's all in good. It's not bad.
And, well,
stuff.
And the cool thing,
so
too, though, is
they're not giving you any more. It's they're just giving you at a different angle, it seems.
Yeah, and that means they've got some faith in their product.
Mm-hmm. That's
true. We talked last week about how scared we were about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because
Still,
they won't show us anything.
Still, we're two months away from that movie.
Exactly.
We don't know anything about it.
So Sony's apparently pretty high on Spider-Man because they'll show us everything. So cool. Makes me excited.
It is cool. The new trailer, I mean, I feel like the more trailers I watch, the more excited I feel myself getting
for it,
honestly.
Because that first one was scary.
It was so scary. But the new one was pretty good. It looked like a lot of the same kind of stuff, but they really focused a lot more on Harry and Peter, it seemed like, in this new trailer, which is kind of cool. We get to see a little bit more of the relationship between those two.
Well, and I like how, I mean, like Ryan just said, they show you a lot of the same footage. They give you just enough new stuff to kind of put a new spin on what's going on with the story.
Right.
So they give you a couple of cool new action scenes, but they also tell you just enough about what's kind of going on in the background, so you get a little anticipation of intrigue. You know?
And they're really good about it doing, because they've done so many trailers, and it's literally almost every villain has his own trailer.
It seems like it.
With Spider.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's pretty cool the way they're doing that.
It is kind of cool.
Because last one did have a lot of
Harry. Before, it's like, okay, Electro is the main villain. And then you see this one with Harry, and it's like, oh, wait.
Now there's a lot
like
of
Harry
Oscorp. A lot of Oscorp focus.
Are they calling him the Harry Goblin this
Harry
time?
Goblin.
Or the new Goblin, or whatever they called Franco?
Probably
well,
just Goblin.
We
they
still
just calling him Goblin.
We still don't know what they're doing, because we're assuming, or hoping, I think, that Norman's going to end up being the real Green Goblin.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that Harry is either just like, either the like the prototype for the Goblin, like they just kind of switched it around,
right?
And like, you know, because the comics he was in the comics he was the Green Goblin too. In this movie, it looks like he's like prototype Green Goblin.
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities. I mean,
which again, I'm totally
Harry doesn't even make it past this movie.
I'm totally down for. I've said that from the beginning when people started complaining about Norman not doing it. I'm like, you know, they're playing the sick old man card, but it's Norman. And it's going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
So if they're using Harry as a test subject and Norman's going to do something really messed up with his kid and take the power, that's Norman. I'm fine with that.
You know, I'm also wondering, too, like I'm actually sitting here looking at the Marvel Legends Amazing Spider-Man figures that I have. The Build-A-Figure for the Wave is Ultimate Green Goblin. What if they took that route with Norman?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Like if Harry is going to be the glider-riding goblin and then they mutate Norman into the big ultimate goblin, I could totally see him taking that route.
And I'd be fine with that.
And it's cool because then it's kind of like they're throwing us the bone by making Harry the glider version.
Exactly.
And then they're giving it, so it's like they're giving us both versions of Goblin.
Exactly.
That's kind of cool.
Exactly.
I'm actually okay with that.
Yeah.
That's a cool idea now that
I'm going to take credit for that.
So, Sony, if you're listening,
royalties. It's
Mark Webb, take some notes. So,
did we talk?
Did you see where he's not going to do the fourth one now?
I'm not surprised. I didn't expect him. Even when they first came out and said, we're doing four plus all these other movies,
right.
Immediately, as soon as I saw interviews with Mark Webb, I kind of got that impression like he didn't exactly know that was going to happen when he came on, you know.
Yeah.
But he does want to stick around in a producer role and everything, and that's how they do. I mean, I don't think Whedon's going to do more than three Avengers.
No,
Lord. You know, yeah. So that's just three. I mean, remember, three movies is like 6 to 9 years of your life.
Exactly.
Like, that's a whole decade spent on one project.
The only thing, the only thing I wonder is if then Garfield jumps out.
I'm guessing they probably have him through four. But I'm not positive. I haven't seen one way or the other. But it's a little different recasting the main role for one last movie of the same series than it is the guy behind the camera.
Yeah.
I mean, how many different directors were there on Harry Potter movies?
Well,
and they
I
all pretty much felt the
for
same.
For example, I take the Iron Man movies. I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, Shane Black stepped in and did a great job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Cool. I think we talked about that before, too, though, didn't we? With, like, Garfield saying that he wasn't sure if he was going to be in the fourth one, like right after they announced
maybe.
That they
we
were
did.
Doing
that
four.
Was
a
yeah, I
was going to
say, that's starting to sound familiar.
But that's,
actually.
That's why I jump in there and say that, because with Mark Webb stepping away, maybe that'll give
I'm just saying, there's Garfield a, there's a lot.
Like, hey, I'm going to step away too,
yeah,
which I don't care, because if they throw another actor in there, I have no
they
faith.
Could totally do the James Bond thing
there's,
and just throw a new actor
in
the role
he's
every
in a
year.
Well, here's my deal with that, though, and there's a lot more panic to get Garfield to come and finish that than there would be somebody behind the camera. And I have always been on board with switch actors every movie, if you want, as far as the superheroes go, because I will watch a standalone Spider-Man movie no matter who's playing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And you don't have to make them all trilogies or quadrologies or four movies and two spinoffs or whatever they're doing with this one. You can just make a Spider-Man movie with a cool cast and a cool story, and it doesn't have to be an origin, and I'll love it.
Yeah, just don't give us the origin.
But, yeah,
I'm fine. I don't need that.
In this case, I don't foresee them being super high on the idea of Garfield doing three movies and then the finale of that same series being somebody else.
Yeah.
I think they're going to want to keep him around. And me, even from a fan perspective, I don't mind switching actors between stories. But this is all one story.
Mm-hmm.
I'd kind of like them to keep the same guys through this story if they
Which
could.
They
even with like the old Batman movies, you know, those were kind of the same universe, but they were their own standalone movies, like the Keatons and then Kilmer and Clooney took over. but it wasn't that big of a deal when Kilmer came in, because it's not like there was no cliffhanger and then they picked back up.
Right.
It was just, here's a standalone Batman
There's
movie.
There's another Batman movie.
Kind of sort of follow some other stuff that's happened,
that's
but it's
true.
Not a big deal, you know?
That's true.
But if they're doing part 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 4 is the ending of this giant story, I kind of want them to keep the same people in it if possible.
Right. I agree. I'll agree with that for sure. Absolutely. Cool. Well, I'm pretty excited for that Spider-Man movie.
Which is good, because that's not how you started.
I know, that's not how I started, and you guys know how I was pretty indifferent to the first one, so I feel pretty good about this new one. I just really hope that it lives up to it.
We felt good about Spider-Man 3 also.
Yes,
so that
we
doesn't
did.
Mean anything.
We were so excited for Spider-Man 3. Every time we saw those trailers, we're like, yeah!
And then I still love Emo Peter.
And then Emo Peter happened.
God bless him.
Awesome. So sticking with the Marvel subject, one of the other things I wanted to talk about was some of the concept art that was recently released.
Mm-hmm.
Where did they release this concept art?
They did an Avengers special. It was March 18th on ABC. It was like a Marvel Movie Universe special. It was like an hour long, and they did some behind-the-scenes stuff. We're terrible podcasters because we should have all been sitting around the TV with popcorn watching that thing.
And I gotta be honest, I didn't even know it was on.
Yeah, and I had...
That's terrible, but...
I'm gonna watch it. I'm gonna watch it soon and just check it all out. But when they were doing that, they had advertised they were gonna talk about... Because my understanding is it focused on everything from the movies that they've done before to where they're going with the stuff, even including some Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff in there.
Ooh.
You know, like they're talking about the whole cinematic universe. And it was kind of a little documentary-type thing on it. And part of that was that they had talked about how they were going to, you know, reveal some information about the new movies coming out. And apparently that was revealed through concept art for... They did some for the Avengers sequel. They did a few bits from Guardians, which the Guardians stuff is... I mean, we've already seen that on film.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't that enthralled by that because it was, a picture with Star-Lord and Rocket Raccoon, and then another picture with Rocket on Groot. but we've already seen the actual live action versions of that in the trailer. But then they showed some Ant-Man concept art too, which was very. I mean, it wasn't anything spoilery, and there was no like actors associated with it or whatever. But it was just pictures of this tiny guy, and you kind of get this feeling of the conceptual size that they're running with. You just got this very like spirited feeling of, ooh, this could be fun.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah, but they did the concept art from Avengers did show Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Right.
Artist renditions of them, but it looks like the looks they're going for are pretty cool. The Scarlet Witch was a switch from what we're used to from the comics.
She's definitely not wearing, like, the red head tiara thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, the tight bodysuit with the pink tights.
Yeah.
That's what she always wore in the books. I'm not sure. I can't remember what she wore in the Ultimate books.
And I don't remember either.
Ultimates?
I've been trying to think about that. But I don't think they're going the Ultimates route.
No.
With this she Scarlet looked very, Witch and Quicksilver.
Well, I mean, she almost looked like she was just wearing street clothes, kind of. Yeah. But she did have, like, some long gloves on.
Yeah.
I mean, the concept art looked fine. It'll be interesting.
White eyes and everything. Yeah, it looked really cool. Yeah.
So it'll be cool to see it translated to the actual actress. But yeah. Quicksilver, on the other hand. And this is funny because we did talk about when they revealed the X-Men Days of Future Past version of Quicksilver and how straight up goofy that costume looked.
Yeah.
We weren't really fans of that.
Nope.
And I think that the Marvel Studios version of Quicksilver already looks way better just based off of this concept.
Tons
art.
And tons. He's actually like Quicksilver.
Yeah, he's wearing like a blue superhero looking costume.
Yeah.
He's got his hair spiked up. Not quite the same as Quicksilver's, but it definitely gives you that vibe. It's not white. Maybe the actual actor will have white hair.
Yeah,
I'm not
or
sure.
At least streaks or something.
Yeah,
I don't know,
so we'll see how it looks like on the actual actor. But the concept art looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. So.
Yeah, I was very happy with that.
Yeah.
And the other concept art they showed, the Hulkbuster armor.
Yeah, Hulkbuster armor. That's pretty exciting. I had a feeling that we were going to see something like that. Because I thought when in Iron Man 3 we saw all those different suits. And there was one giant one running around. And I thought that might have been the Hulkbuster armor.
They didn't reference
that I don't think,
at all, did they?
They didn't say anything about it. And I don't think it ended up being Hulkbuster armor. I think it's got some other name. But, you know, just ever since seeing that, I just assumed we'd be seeing a Hulkbuster at some point.
Right. Well, what's cool about that, too, is that kind of gives you, because we don't know a lot about the storyline for Age of Ultron, except for that it's the Age of Ultron.
Yes. yes.
But it kind of gives you some, I don't know if hints or just, it really makes you think, you know, well, why is Iron Man designing a suit just to fight Hulk
in this
movie? You know, what's going on in the background? I do wish they had given us some sort of teaser glimpse of what they might be going for with Ultron, but, you know, I don't need it now. They've got a lot of time to advertise this.
And we've got so much stuff before that I really care about.
Yeah, absolutely. I love James Spader. I'm really excited to see what Robot James Spader looks like.
Robot James Spader.
He's gonna rule that. It's going to come to a point where you're going to want Ultron to stay around. Like, I'm gonna be like,
can they adopt him when this is over?
I kind of hope he's good for a while at least, so I get to really, really like him before he goes bad. But either way, it's Spader. He's awesome.
That's going to be cool. I'm excited. I think that's great that they're doing Ultron for the movie. That's like so perfect, I feel like. But yeah, man, I'm really excited because we're getting so close to Captain America Winter Soldier. And every time I see a trailer, I just get so happy. You know, it's going to be so great.
Yeah,
I got a few friends that worked on that and they just tease me all the time.
Yeah.
They won't tell me anything even though I'll ask, but I don't want to know.
Yeah.
But the thing is their marketing is so good because they have no problem showing you stuff.
Right.
At all. Because they're like,
they're proud of their work.
There's always that fear of like, you know, we don't want to show them too much because then they won't come see the movie. It's like, no, it's going to be the opposite effect when they're showing.
And I think they know too, with a story like this especially, that looks like it is pulling fairly heavily from comic book sources. And I'm sure they'll throw some things in there to mix it up and, you know, make it its own thing. But the overarching story, if you know nothing about comics, you might be very intrigued by what's going on with this Winter Soldier guy.
Yeah.
If you know a little bit about comics, you know exactly what's going on.
Yeah,
but
I
think they also kind of know, not to interrupt, sorry.
Oh, no,
just
go ahead.
Finish that train of thought. I think they really know there's not a good way to hide some of the spoilers of this movie. Like, if you want to know, you're going to go read the comics and find out.
Exactly.
So we might as well just give you a bunch of what we're going to give you.
Well,
that's
perfect, what you just said, because I noticed that the newest trailer that they're airing on TV, like, they straight show the Winter Soldier unmasked and everything.
Yeah.
They're not trying to hide
yeah.
that at all. Because when I first saw that trailer, I went, I think they just kind of spoiled that for everybody. And then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, the people that know already know, and the people that don't know probably don't really remember, or you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out when they're watching it.
Yeah.
So it's not that big of a deal, I guess.
Yep.
But either way, man, holy cow! Every time I see
it, I'm so. And it's only a couple of weeks away now.
The first few minutes of that movie of him fighting on that warship.
When he jumps out without the parachute.
And you finally get to see like Cap doing some stuff. And you're like, oh, it's about time.
I can't wait.
Was your big complaint about the first Captain America was the action was kind of light, the hand-to-hand stuff, which I thought, I loved the first Captain America.
It's one of my favorite series, and it's fine too, because you're like, okay, you know, he just became Cap. He doesn't know his abilities yet, but, you know, you see some of the fighting, you're like, he just punches a guy and maybe kicks a guy. He really doesn't show off. And they showed even a little bit more in Avengers, but I'm still like, he's not there yet.
Yeah.
He still is not doing
this will definitely be his time to shine, I think.
And now he is.
Yeah.
And for Falcon looks so great.
Oh, Falcon. I get so happy every time I see that. Yeah, man. Everything about this movie is just
so great is like these characters are going to stay.
Avengers movies.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what's so fantastic.
It's like the more of these movies we get, the more Avengers get introduced.
You're like,
and that's what's so awesome.
Avengers 3 is going to be like 50 characters flying
around
doing everything. It's gonna be a seven-hour miniseries movie.
And what's gonna be great is when they overrun the Avengers finally, so they have to start releasing like Avengers movies every 3 years, and in between they have to start releasing like West Coast Avengers movies and whatever else.
I saw on the clip with the assembling universe that Marvel special, like the Kevin Feige was like. It's like, there's so many characters.
How you say that?
Yeah, it took us forever to figure out
Phage.
There's so many different... Their assistants at Marvel still didn't even know how to pronounce
it.
We heard one that was Feige, one that was Phage, one that was just Feig, and then Feig.
Wow.
And we're just like, screw it, we'll just call him Kevin. And then they're like, that's what we do. So, and then he said, he's like, well, what's great about Avengers is it's literally... a swinging door. One character comes in, another one leaves. I mean, you'll have the core, but he's like, there's so many that come in and out. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're doing what, you know, hopefully at some point X-Men will start doing too. We don't need to always have Wolverine in every single X-Men movie.
You know, he's played Wolverine more than anybody ever played James Bond.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Whatever, I love Wolverine.
Oh, yeah, me too. I love the Hugh Jackman Wolverine more than I've ever loved any Wolverine version. Well, because I wasn't like a Wolverine guy until the movies came out. I'm like, all right, now he's awesome, finally.
I always loved Wolverine. I grew up as a Wolverine fan.
I think that'll be cool, too, with the Avengers movies when they get to the point where they've got that revolving door type mentality. As long as they don't start trying to pack everyone into every movie, which I have faith they won't.
Yeah.
It'll really be good when they start. I mean, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is not going to do these forever. Mm-mm. I don't know why, because he'll make so much money hardly showing up. But he won't do them forever. But it'll really ease, like, you won't necessarily have to replace Iron Man if he's not in every movie. Nearly as quickly, or it won't be nearly as big of a deal, because there's that fear, like, well, when these guys stop doing it, what are they going to do, you know? Well, you don't really have to replace them right away. You also don't really have to cut the characters out right away. They can just not be around, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you feel like you don't even skip a beat.
Man, dude. This is exactly the kind of thing I've always wanted from a comic book movie. That's all I know.
It's
like,
ridiculous.
Oh, Marvel Studios rocks so hard. It's amazing.
Unreal.
Sweet. Alright, so there we are. We're just geeking out over Marvel again. We are totally Marvel fanboys.
We should probably change the name of the show.
Yeah, right? Like, any DC fans...
We would talk about DC.
They're fed up with us,
we don't have the same tone of voice.
I was going to say, every time we talk about DC...
We would talk about it if they did it right.
We're like, yeah, so Batman again. Blah. That's what happens every time we bring up DC.
Well, we could talk about Arrow,
you know,
that show's awesome.
I need to watch Arrow.
I need to watch it. So good.
I guess if we
talk about introducing characters and not being afraid of it, DC TV loves to do it. Apparently, they don't know how to do it.
The movie studios can't handle it. But apparently, they're doing well with Green Arrow, and they're always awesome with their animated movies.
Yep.
Always,
mm-hmm. We need to do just a whole hour where we talk about the DC animated, so people realize that we do like DC.
Yeah, or the Batman Arkham games.
Great. Yeah. Oh, man, those games are so good.
Yeah.
See?
If we want to be happy about DC.
We'll talk about their things that are great.
We just got to stay away from
the
movies.
It's Warner Brothers Movie Studios.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Huh. Well, speaking of movie studios, let's go ahead and move over to some fun discussion with Ryan here. First of all, before we get into this, if why don't you go ahead and kind of like explain to anybody who might have never actually heard you on the podcast before, kind of what
What's
you
wrong?
Do.
Why have they not heard me?
Well, I don't know. Maybe this is the first.
This is my what, fourth time?
Yeah, but maybe this is the first episode that they've ever listened to at all. Yeah. And you've referenced a few times in this episode, like working on certain things or knowing people.
This podcast is growing by the tens every episode.
Probably.
Oh, are we up to 40 now?
So what do you do for a living, Ryan?
What do I do for a living? I work in film. I just got done assisting some producers, actually the producers, for the Academy Award show, the Oscars.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
So you actually got to go to the Oscars.
I did. Tuxedo and all. Red carpet.
You were the first
everything.
One of us to make it.
That's right.
I did.
We're so proud
but
of you.
That was always the joke. It's like we always... If we won an Academy Award or something, we'd always have a speech, but it would never be a thank you speech. It would be a screw you Academy for screwing over all these people that we thought should have won speech.
Yeah.
But then I got there and I'm like, I kind of like it.
Yeah, I always feel like I'll just get up there and chastise them until they start playing the music just about Gone Baby Gone. But you didn't even nominate it!
Yeah. That in Munich.
Oh, man, Munich.
But
this
anyway.
This is not the point.
This is not the point we're going to. So I got done. I worked on the Academy Awards. It was really great. Met a lot of cool people.
Yeah, man. We saw your pictures. That was pretty awesome.
I did post a couple pictures. I really don't do the whole Facebook thing, especially anymore. But, you know.
Man, you have to. It's
you
stuff
need,
like
you
this,
need
right?
To get on the,
like,
you need to get on the Twitter thing.
I don't
thing.
Know the Twitter
you
thing.
Would love the Twitter thing.
It's going to suck up a lot of my time.
Well, you don't have to.
My boss is obsessed with Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
So I probably should know
you, yeah,
a
you
little
need to
bit.
Get it. Because it's like
it's the
Facebook,
new thing.
But not...
I don't know.
I have a Facebook. I don't like my Facebook.
I don't, yeah, I'm not a...
Well,
I never get
thing.
On it.
That
and
was...
I don't get on Twitter a lot, but I really like the concept of Twitter. Twitter's
well, that
fun.
Was the whole point, is like I posted the pictures on Facebook. Well, first I sent them to John. As soon as I took a picture of me and Jack Burton...
Never seen this kid look so happy.
I was like, okay, I got it. I did it. This was the goal.
He,
this is the
seriously,
whole point.
Guys, do not downplay this at all. This kid, as soon as he got to California, started calling me going, what if I get to meet Kurt Russell? I might. You know what I'm like? Is he doing anything? No. We think Goldie is. So if Goldie's around, he might be around. You know, and it was like his aspirations. It's not even, hey, I'm at the Oscars. I'm in California. It was Kurt Russell is in the same zip code that I am right now. And I might get to talk to him, you know? Yeah. And so, yeah, I got that picture Oscar night. And it was 2 days after my son was born. I was sitting at home with a brand new baby going, man, life can't get any better than this. And then... one of my best buds sent me the picture of him smiling bigger than I've ever seen him smile, standing right next to Kurt Russell, which he's been hoping for months. And I just went, man, everybody's having a great weekend. This is awesome.
That was cool. The reaction. Yeah, that was sweet. It was him and Harrison Ford were the only two I really cared about. Didn't get Harrison.
You didn't get a picture,
but I
got
to hang out
with
him.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Well, that was the coolest sweet. Part of the whole experience is... The 2 days before the show, everybody who presents and performs on the show comes into the producer's office and talks and goes over their script for about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So every 15 minutes, all these people are coming up. Bradley Cooper walked in, and he's a little bit early, so he's just hanging out over by our desk while our bosses are talking to, I think it was Kate Hudson at the time. And he's just kind of relaxed, and he goes up to the kitchen sink, and then I'm just kind of acting like I'm working on my computer. I'm not doing anything. And then he just kind of turns to me, and he just gives me a nod and says, what's up, man? I was like, he gave it to me. I can go talk to him now. He said hi
that's
first.
The end.
So it's like all these things are always running through your head, because you're like, okay, all these people are walking in. I need to have something to say for every single person, just in case. And for him, I was like... Oh my God, what do I talk about? There's a few things I don't want to talk about. I never want to talk about like their big things. I want to talk about what I want to talk about, like the little cool esoteric type things. And Bradley Cooper did this TV show called Kitchen Confidential back in the day. It was an Anthony Bourdain show.
Yeah, what was that, like 03 or
something?
It was
like it was right after Wedding Crashers, and he wasn't quite big enough. But it was on Fox. I loved that show so much. And I wanted to go talk to him about that, but then I was like, I gotta ask him about Guardians of the Galaxy.
I was gonna say that's what I'd have said.
And it's fresh and everything. And I go up there. I was like, "Hey man, what's up?" I was like, "Yeah." And then he's like, "Yeah, man, it's fun to be here." I was like, "Great." I was like, "Tell me about Guardians." And he had a big smile on his face. And I think he's the type of person like he had no idea what he was walking into.
Yeah.
And the trailer had just come out. The trailer was like a week fresh. and everybody was all over it. And he's just like, it's going to be amazing. And I was like, well, how? He's like, and all he wanted to talk about was Gunn. That's all he wanted to talk about was James Gunn, the director. Yeah. He's like, man, he's awesome. He's fun. He just, and I was like, so he's got it. He's like, it's going to be beyond amazing. So
cool.
Yeah. He got me even more excited.
Yeah. Oh,
man, so I went back and watched the trailer again. So yeah, that was cool. That was super cool. So yeah, all these people just kind of walk in the office, say hi, and they're like, holy shit.
The other cool cool picture you got was Sidney Poitier.
Sidney Poitier. That was by accident. That was at the end of the night. I had to deal with some stuff in the parking garage for my boss's limo, and I was down there for like an hour and a half. So I missed like the second half of the show, stuck in the parking garage dealing. This is assistant work. It's not all glamorous. It's all crap all the time. But anyway, I finally get it in there, and I go up, and there's this big party called the Governor's Ball, and that's where everybody goes to once the awards are over with. It's right upstairs. Everybody goes there. That's where they go with the winners and take pictures and do little interviews and stuff. So before they go to the Vanity Fair parties and Elton John parties, they go up there and do that. So I go up there, and I had to give my ticket to my boss because they lost their tickets or something like that. So I'm just kind of hanging out in the lobby. I'm pissed. I'm so upset because I missed the second half of the show. I might not get into the party. My night's ruined. I'm ready to go just back to my hotel room. And then out walks Sidney Poitier. And I'm like, oh, gosh, how do I do this? I was like, how do I ask him for a picture? I don't want to be that guy. Yeah. But also I'm like, going to be that guy because he's not going to remember me after tonight.
Right.
And I'm going to be kicking myself if I don't get this. And then as soon as he walks out, Angelina and Brad Pitt walk out. And he presented with Angelina, so he's been with her all night, and they've been friends and stuff and talking.
Yeah.
And then Jared Leto walks out, and then Julia Roberts walks out. So everybody wants to start taking pictures of those people, and I'm like, damn it, I missed my chance. And then they take their pictures and then disperse, and Sidney's just standing there because he kind of needs a little help getting around a little.
Yeah.
So he was waiting for his friend to come back over to help him. And I'm just kind of standing there, and I was just looking, and there's another guy there. I was like, I was like, Sidney, is it okay if I get a picture with you? And he, like, took a second. Like, he didn't know if he wanted to. And he's like, yeah, of course. Yeah, let's do this. and then we take a picture. And then I was like, and then I did the whole, hey, I just want you to know I really love. And I'm sure, like, through his mind, he's like, yeah, he's going to say In the Heat of the Night or Guess Who's Coming Dinner or something like that. I really loved you in Sneakers with Robert Redford and Dan Aykroyd. And he just kind of had this look on his face like, I don't know. Oh, wait, yeah. I did other movies, too. I did that movie. It's one of those moments where it's like you say something really obscure.
Yeah, right?
And it takes them back because all they hear is the same thing.
Yeah.
All they hear is those certain movies that everybody's like, oh, I loved you in this. It's like, whatever. You never saw that movie.
I always get the impression from you when I get to hear these stories, which are all awesome. But like part of your job, or at least being good at your job, is not being starstruck.
No,
you know, like, and I know you, so I know you are sometimes. But like you have to, and you've explained it to me that way on several occasions. You gotta go in realizing that you're just hanging out with a person, you know. And so every once in a while, you'll hit one like a Kurt Russell, where you just get that giddy look on your face. But normally, it's just like, all right, it's Michael Caine. This is cool. I'll drive him around, you know, whatever, and just hear some stories. But you always have the, every time we talk, even when somebody's coming into the office, it's like, all right, what are you going to bring up? You know, we got to make sure you talk about it. I remember when you were working on Iceman and you were talking about meeting David Schwimmer. And I was like, did you tell him how much we love Kissing a Fool? And you were like, I did tell him how much we love Kissing a Fool.
And you know how much he loved hearing that we love Kissing a Fool? Yeah.
I bet that's a lot of those guys, you know, the cool ones at least, most of those guys, I bet they have an appreciation for some of their smaller projects. So like you said, when you come out with their big stuff, you know, like, what was it like working on Friends? I have to answer that five times a day. Why would I care? Exactly. But when you're like, hey, you remember this small movie you did in the late 90s with Jason Lee that no one saw except for me and my buddy? We loved it. You know? Like, I loved it too.
They have to know that.
That is sweet.
It was cool.
That was awesome. Did you get a chance to ask John Travolta how he terribly mispronounced Idina Menzel's name?
You know what's funny is I didn't even catch that. Like, I caught the news. I heard him up there talking, and everybody's like, whoa, Travolta butchered it. And I'm like, what did he do?
Well, he said, I don't even, because we talked about last week, I didn't even really watch, I missed the Oscars,
yeah.
But I've gone back and watched some of the things, and one of the things I wanted to watch was her performance, because I love her. She's awesome, and I love her. I mean,
I'll let you keep that.
Okay. You don't know who
most
she is?
Most people don't.
Look,
she's married to Taye Diggs.
She's a big Broadway. She was in Wicked. She was in Rent. She was Maureen in Rent.
Okay.
And she's been in a lot of stuff like that.
She's that girl who can't hit the high note.
So I wanted to watch that that performance, and then John Travolta's all like, Akeem,
I think it was a teleprompter thing. I think that was what it was.
Good.
Because he delivered everything perfectly. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, because I went back and watched it too, and it looked like he's like, this is in her name, but I'm going to read it, type of like look on your face.
Yeah.
No, because you get it. Like, I don't know. I'm not, what I have heard is, especially from a lot of those actors, it's like, they're like, listen, I've done 1,000 plays, I've done 1,000 movies. Those don't bother me. It's when I'm standing up in front of my peers on this night, I'm just scared.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
We don't know.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah.
So, you know, you're reading
that teleprompter. Totally different than being on a set.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you're reading that teleprompter, and it's a good ways away, but it's big, and you're just kind of going with it, because everything he delivered, I was like, okay, this is a good introduction, and then he just got to the name, and it was like, oh, wow.
Let me ask you something kind of along those lines, too. And this actually comes as sort of a behind-the-scenes type, how do they do it? And this comes from my father-in-law, who was over, as I said, we had just had the new baby. That was our first day home, was the day of the broadcast. So we usually have a big Oscar party and have a bunch of friends and stuff over. And this year we just had my wife's family over instead to kind of hang out with the kid and everything. And when they're doing the presentations especially, or the nominees rather, and they kind of cut away and they're showing film clips, and you can hear the people presenting saying all these, you know, often very difficult to pronounce names, especially when they get to the foreign movies, and they're just flowing through them.
Yeah.
And my father-in-law pointed out that he thought it sounded like there was almost a disconnect audio-wise. Like, he thought that stuff was all pre-taped and just kind of played over. Are they actually, even when the camera's not on them, when they do, because obviously when they're standing up, they're introducing a person like Travolta was there, yes. And so I know sometimes they do it right, but
I don't know, to be, like, number one is I don't know how much I can tell you guys.
Yeah.
Because I have some stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a big, I don't really know. I mean, your guess is really as good as mine, to be honest.
Okay.
To be honest, I wasn't there to watch anything live. We're in the back, so we're seeing what you guys see on the screen and what we're seeing in, like, the truck type stuff.
Right.
So, I really don't know.
And definitely don't say anything about, you're not supposed to say. That's not our point. We're just going to throw some questions at you.
And that's the thing.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Can
you tell us about the pizza guy?
Oh, yeah.
I know from Yahoo it was a real pizza guy.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that was one of the cool parts. And we talked about the Oscars last week a little bit, and you just kind of let me go off on a tangent.
Yeah.
I thought it was a very good production this year, and I wasn't super excited about it because the movies were meh, and I'm not big on Ellen, so I was like, meh on that, you know, but you were working on it, so that excited me, even though that doesn't matter when the production starts,
exactly.
You know. But I thought she did a really good job, and I thought the whole show as a whole was very entertaining, you know, except for some missteps here and there maybe, but good production.
It was good, yeah. We were really happy with it. This is one of those years where it's like, there was no big number at the beginning. It's just a little monologue, a little comedy sketch, and we got straight into awards, which I think was the best thing, because that's always the complaint all the time. Yep. They're like, oh, gosh.
I love award season and awards night, and I, as much as anyone, could stand if they shaved an hour out of the middle of that show. Yeah. And just, I appreciate that people work really hard on foreign films and documentary short subjects and animated, but, like, the national broadcast that you're sending out, you're broadcasting awards for movies people have no way of seeing, even if they wanted to.
Yeah.
And that's my deal. If you gave us a venue where we could see all that stuff, like if ABC even, like, a couple of weeks beforehand did, like, nightly specials where they'd show us some documentaries and short cartoons,
I'd be fine
seeing them in the broadcast, but I literally have no opportunity to see that stuff, and then I have to waste an hour of just filler watching awards be given away and people run along on their speeches that I've never heard of,
right,
or whatever else. So
yeah.
They could definitely cut some of that down, but that's not the kind of decision you make.
No, that's you, not. Yeah. That's
bring that up next time.
Well, no, but those will never go away. From what I've heard, they will never go away.
So tell us right now who's hosting next year and the year after that. Who's going to win?
Who's gonna win? All of it. Tell us.
It's gonna be that one movie about that hard hitting subject.
Oh, yeah.
That's so fresh in everyone's mind.
Is there anything else you wanna? Because now you've frazzled me and scared me from.
No,
you
can
anything.
Ask all the questions.
So,
I'll just let you know if I can tell you or not.
Is there anything that pops into your head as far as things you take away from the experience or something you maybe like learned about the show or live shows in general?
Because
you've
done
a couple of live shows
in
a row now, and I know that's impressed you.
Well, the tough thing about live shows is everything's prep. You're prepping everything. You're never just working. So it's always one script. It's always never changing. It's just weird because you're doing like 4 months worth of work and then one big bang, and then it's 2 hours.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of floor play and very little.
Yeah.
Like it's a big payoff,
right,
but it's such a short little payoff.
Right.
And then it's over. And then it's literally like as soon as the curtain falls, they start tearing down everything. Like they waste no time whatsoever.
Oh,
so
I
you
bet.
Don't even get to
I
like
bet.
Revel in it. And so it's just like, okay, we're out, moving on. And you're like, oh, wow.
Well, they want to
go find my next job.
Yeah, gotta find my next job.
Yeah.
And that
so
was
this,
that.
This will be the worst analogy ever for anyone but me and Dan. But just the way you said that reminds me of the end of some of the indie wrestling shows we do.
Yeah, yep. I was getting ready to say the exact same thing.
Yeah.
It's like going to. It's even like going to a WWE show.
Oh yeah, actually.
As soon as a Raw ends, boom, tearing that stuff down. You know what I mean? I mean, it's they're out of there. They're ready to get out of there and move on to
the
next
city.
That,
like that's their like it's fun for you as an attendee.
Yep.
That's their job.
Yeah,
and they
want to
go home.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
It's 4:50. And they're staring at the clock, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap this up. We
can
take that right
but
now.
But I will say, the top people that I met, other than Kurt Russell and Harrison Ford, Bill Murray has to go on that top list.
Absolutely.
Ooh,
Bill Murray has never presented on the show. He was nominated back in, like, 05. But he never goes to award shows, never does anything. The amazing thing about that man is I don't think he has an agent or a manager or anything.
No, and
he has a 1-800 number that you have to call to get a hold of him. And I was like, I love this man.
Yeah.
I was like, this
heard,
man is
I've
brilliant.
I've heard so many weird stories about Bill Murray. And that is exactly it. He wants to be left alone. He wants to do stuff on his own time.
He's fantastic.
So yeah, you leave him a message. If he's interested, he'll call you.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the way it goes. And he was so great. He comes in. Number one is he was the last one to rehearse. And he comes in and we couldn't get him in. We couldn't get him in the building. Security there is insane. You have to have all these credentials and everything to pass. And so, like, he didn't...
Being Bill Murray isn't a credential?
Trust me. what do you think we all looked at each other and said, who's not letting the... I don't care if he's not in the show. If he just walks up, who's going to say no? But apparently we did. He finally gets in and he just kind of walks into our office. He's like, I got in the White House a lot easier than I got into this place. And then he just started cracking up. He just, the thing with Bill is like, he would just talk like a normal conversation, but you couldn't help but laugh just because his delivery is in that deadpan look on his face.
Yeah.
I was telling my wife's so cool. nephew, my nephew, I guess, whatever, my favorite Bill Murray story of all time. And again, you never know if any of this stuff is legit or not, and I can't even remember the details around it, but the basics of it was he was in some restaurant somewhere in the middle of, you know, not in the middle of Hollywood, I don't think, in the middle of somewhere where you wouldn't expect to run into Bill Murray, and it was just a normal, I'm sure it wasn't a Chili's, but think of something like, you know,
a
regular restaurant on a regular day, and for whatever reason he was there eating, and as he gets up to leave, he walks by this table with these two kids sitting at it, and, he leans over until they look up at him. They look up at him and they can see it's Bill Murray sitting right in front of us. And he just leans over and picks up a fry off one of their plates and eats it and goes, "No one will ever believe you." And just walks out of the restaurant.
That sounds about right.
That's amazing.
That sounds about right.
Like, I don't know if that's true, but I hope that's true.
Oh, that is
even
so
if
good.
It's not, it's a great story.
Exactly.
Believe you.
Oh.
So that's Bill Murray. Yeah, he was a highlight. That was something special.
Any final thoughts on the Oscar gig that you're allowed to say?
I know. Now you get me second guessing. You got me, I want to come back next year and work.
Well, don't okay. do. Yeah, don't
they
do
won't
that.
Listen to this.
You think?
Yeah, no kidding. It'll, yeah, you say just the wrong thing.
And... It's true. I don't know what yeah. happens with the internet.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you exactly. can't trust the internet.
Yep.
I don't.
Yep.
Yeah, it was fun.
We want you to go back too. So don't say anything if you.
Yeah.
Just tell us it was fun.
And that's the thing is, my bosses they. Produced last year's one with Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah.
And so this year was, I think they, the way they described it is a lot easier. I mean, the first year you have no idea what you're getting into. The
right.
second year you're like, it's much smoother. You got everything under control. I can't just imagine how next year's going to go. I think it's, hopefully it'll just be so easy.
Right.
So much. And this way we could, because I think this might be their last year producing it. Unless, you know, you never know. People ask you to come back if they get better ratings. That's the thing is their ratings are insane. But I think that the next year we're just going to have
fun. Yeah, and the ratings on this thing were huge. Like the article I was reading, which I think you sent me one of them, but I read this
and
stuff all the time anyway.
Too. That was the thing.
Yeah, it was the most watched network broadcast since the 2004 finale of Friends.
Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's insane.
Yeah. That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. That's fantastic that you got the opportunity to do something like that.
Who would have thought?
Right? I know. Who?
At what point?
I never would have thought that I would know somebody who does anything like you do. So, that's pretty cool.
And I'll just mention it to people. I was mentioning you to somebody earlier today, and I was like, yeah, my buddy, he's in town. He just got back from the Oscars. And they're like, the what? Like, the Oscars. He's like, What does that mean? It's like, he was out at the Oscars. You know, he was assisting the producers, you know, so he got to work out there. What are the Oscars? Like, the Academy Awards. Yeah, I know, but, like, what are you talking about? Like, no, seriously, and I'm not dragging this out. This is exactly how that conversation went down. You know, he's like, well, how do you know him? I'm like, he's one of my best friends, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, where's he from? I've told you three times he went to Pleasant Plains High School. You know, he's from right here.
Yeah.
A lot of times I think people just kind of think that that's like some own little special place that you can't possibly know anybody that has anything to do with that.
Yeah.
Because that's a magic land there, you know? People don't...
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard for people to, like, grasp the concept that, people...
Oh, no.
People get
me.
Jobs doing that sort of thing, you know?
No, I got the same stuff. When I posted those pictures on Facebook, everybody came out of the woodwork. People haven't talked to in, like, 15 years. Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Yeah, of course.
Who? I didn't even know you were my friend on
here. Hey, you're friends with Uncle Russell. That's cool. How you doing?
I was telling Ryan over the weekend how hard I had to fight the urge every couple of days just to, for no reason, send him a text just being like, hey, man, I got this script. You think maybe you could run it past your bosses, see if they got any pointers for me? Just because that's the kind of thing you get.
It's true. It's like, the worst is with the people that you work with in films and TV that you haven't worked with in 5 years. The ones that you asked, hey, can you see if you can get me on this show? Now they're like, hey, what's going on?
Yeah,
Hi, you out in L.A.? That's fantastic. Let me know how it goes. Oh, yeah, well, screw you. You haven't talked to me in 5 years when I needed a job doing this. You brushed me off.
I can only imagine. Hey, Ryan, I do like all these videos on the internet and stuff. Maybe you could like
that
talk to somebody.
No. I don't know what you're going with.
Well, unless they're into that sort of thing.
Weird, it's just with toys.
Oh.
I mean, yeah. I mean, unless that helps. Yeah. Unless that helps. No.
Hey, you got an in with these guys. You should totally get Dan to host next year.
True.
Get me to host. Hosted by Pixel Dan. What? Who's that?
I don't know if I'd be excited or mad.
I'd be scared. That's what I'd be. Like, these people have no idea who I am. I would just be like, hey, guys. It's comparison time? They'll be like, we don't get that joke. I'll be like, it's a toy thing. I'm out. Peace.
This guy gets it.
Yeah, that guy gets it right there. No, I don't. Yeah, no. I'm out. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to take a quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to get into a discussion that I believe is the real reason Ryan's here. Actually, Ryan's the reason that this whole thing kind of came together, right?
He's up there. Right? Kickstarter is the reason this whole thing came together.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. So when we get back, we're going to discuss Veronica Mars.
Yeah.
Are you tired of buying from unreliable sellers on those big online auction sites? How about scouring the internet for that one figure you need, only to find it for 3 times the retail price? If you are, then stop by NerdRageToys.com. We specialize in new and vintage toys and collectibles. We have hundreds of items from popular lines like G.I. Joe, Star Wars, Transformers, Thundercats, He-Man, Ghostbusters, and more. Our items are priced to sell and ready to ship. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or sign up for our weekly newsletter to stay current on all of our site news and updates. Nerd Rage Toys. Stuff for nerds.
All right, guys. Welcome back from the break. It's time to talk about V-Mars.
I love this show so much, yeah. Dan.
Really?
I do.
Huh. If somebody only would have told you about the show.
I wish someone would have told me years ago to pick this show up.
Yeah, so let's start with that.
If anybody had ever mentioned it, I would have watched it in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. How mad are you?
I'm pretty mad. but it's awesome, too. Because...
Yeah, Ryan's been telling me for years to watch Veronica Mars. And it's always been on my list. It just, there was never like the motivating factor to go, well, this is what's going to come next until Kickstarter.
And that's what's great is you, because I still have some shows in the vault like that too, where everybody's like, you got to watch that show, you got to watch that show. It's like, I'll get to it. And then when I do, I'm going to be even that more excited.
Yeah.
It's like when with Angel for me. Like, it took me years.
Man. Yeah, exactly. Years to watch it. But then I don't have to apologize to you for nothing.
No, stop. I finally did watch Angel. I finally did watch Angel.
Oh, I love Angel.
And I had the same effect that you had when I told you I watched Angel. When you're like, oh, I wish I was you right now. I wish I had never watched it so I can watch it for the first time again.
Yep, to have that feeling of newness. Mars. Yeah.
Because it's one of those shows where... It's one of those shows that nobody has ever watched and not liked.
Really?
It's not it's not one of those shows where everybody's going to watch it. And it's not going to have a huge numbers ever.
Well, I think the problem is that I bet a lot of people don't know even what it's about or know anything about it.
That's the thing.
I didn't. No, I didn't know anything.
Well, also when you tell them what it's about, it doesn't sound that it's like it's like kind of like a high school teenage detective thing.
Yeah,
well, that doesn't sound that entertaining. Right. That sounds like weird. That sounds like a CW show, which technically,
it wasn't it?
But
yeah.
But it's so much smarter than you expect.
It's a modern day film noir.
Yeah, absolutely.
Set in a made up LA type town.
Yeah, it's very Buffy without the supernatural.
Exactly.
You know,
it's totally Buffy. Without the supernatural.
My wife felt it was something akin to a teenage Monk. And she loved Monk. We both love Monk.
Oh, okay.
And it's not exactly it's a little racier than that at times, but you get that kind of episode by episode feeling.
You do, but you do get the overall picture. Like,
absolutely.
The way Whedon set up his seasons.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I'm going to give you episodes here and there, but we got an end game to every season.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure they did.
It's just so smart. The writing is great. Sometimes the jokes you won't get. Until you see what they're like 2 years later, and you'll see that reference in something else because it's a very esoteric references all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you finally, I remember in season 3, they did a kiss, kiss, bang, bang joke, which all 5 people who saw kiss, kiss, bang, bang understood that joke. And then
a lot of people have seen Kiss Kiss Bang Bang now in retrospect because Robert Downey Jr. got huge after Iron Man.
Shane Black.
Yeah.
And Shane Black got big with Iron Man 3 now and everything. But this would have aired in 06, 07. This was a year and a half or 2 years before Iron Man. So Kiss Kiss Bang Bang was brand new and no one had seen it.
No.
You know?
And that was the fun thing too about Kiss Kiss Bang Bang Bang. It was an adult Veronica Mars movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's the same type of...
Oh, see, I've never seen
it's
that.
Very
so.
Cool,
yeah.
Very LA,
it.
Very, Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah, meta in a way, but...
It's good. It's smart.
It's noir, yeah.
That's
it's
cool.
Very well written, very smart.
Anything that's modern day noir, just like that Joseph Gordon-Levitt movie, Brick, which is... One of the best movies of the 2000s.
Yeah.
Brick's super cool.
So cool. It's one of those... That's the thing with Veronica Mars. It's one of those things where it could have went horribly wrong. If you didn't get the right people in the parts, and if they didn't believe in the characters, and they just kind of brushed it off, it could have been awful.
Yeah.
But
if you had anybody but Rob Thomas or a select other few writing and creating it, you know. But he knew exactly what it was, the cast. That was the cool thing about the movie, too, is because... Fans of the show, though few, are rabid and have always wanted... You know, the show died before its time. It only went 3 years, and it didn't...
Two and a half, really.
Well, no, it was full 3. They only cut the third season by 2 episodes. Still 20.
Which is crazy. Like, I haven't finished the full third season yet, so I want to get that out there now. We've been talking about this for a couple episodes, how we're going to get on watching this, and you finished it. and you've seen the movie, I've gotten through the first two seasons and half of the third season. Yeah. And we've, like, Christina and I both have been plowing through it because we love it. We both love it. It's all we want to watch right now. Yep. But even, like, when, like, because I was, you know, you were loaning me the seasons, like, one season at a time. And, like, when I was getting through two, that's when you were like, there's only one season left. And I was like, what? Like, this doesn't feel like a show that should have stopped at three seasons. This feels like a show that should have gone on for much longer.
And my understanding, just reading stuff in retrospect, too, is it's one of those tragedies where, you know, the TV state, like, the ratings weren't great, but they were improving. The fan base was very happy, and the show wasn't very expensive to make, but sometimes studios just make these decisions on a whim, it feels like. The exact same thing happened to Angel.
Yeah.
The show was getting cheaper every year, and the ratings were growing every year. And I remember Joss Whedon saying the first time he had ever felt confident that that show was definitely going to come back was in the middle of season five. And he had a sit-down dinner with the head of the WB, whose name escapes me right now. I think I know it, but I'm not positive, so I'm not going to throw out my name. But he was having dinner with him halfway through the season going, hey, you know, we know things are going well, and we just need confirmation, because if the show is going to end, you know, we want to do it right. So we just need to go ahead that we're good for another season, and we'll keep on going. And the guy was like, eh, you know, we're thinking of doing another Dark Shadows, and we don't really need two vampire shows, so actually we are going to cancel you this year.
Oh, great.
You know? Yeah, and it was just all, and I'll point out, they never even did Dark Shadows.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things where I think the CW, or whatever it was called at the time, when Veronica Mars was canceled, did sort of the same thing. They were going, you know, things are moving along, the show is progressing, you know, the people who watch it really, really like it, but it's not a smash hit, and we want to try a bunch of other stuff, and we don't really want to take the time to weed out what we like and what we don't like, so if your numbers aren't at a certain level, you're just gone.
Boo.
You know, yeah, and it's...
So can I point out that we once again are blaming Warner Brothers for ruining
you
things?
You can.
Warner Brothers ruins everything, apparently.
They do.
So,
and that's the thing with the season, and you haven't finished the third season. It doesn't really end like on a cliffhanger per se, but it doesn't feel like the show ended either.
No. There's
and
no like why, finale.
Yeah, and that's why... Oh, I don't think they knew they were getting canceled when they made it. I think they thought there was going to be a fourth season. So that's why they think the fans have been so rabid about going, you know, we would like some sort of closure.
Oh, man, there's nothing worse than when you're, like, really invested in a show and it just stops with no ending. Yep. Like, I've been that way with a couple shows. I remember, like one of the ones that I was way behind was Pushing Daisies. I loved Pushing Daisies. Yeah. That show was so good, and it just stopped.
Yep.
You know, I
and
hated
that's
that.
That's one
you
still hear every once in a while. Murmurs come back about people who want them to do something with it.
They should have. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's the one thing we are lucky now is we live in a very high internet, very high social media world where anything can come back now.
Yeah. Dude.
I mean,
well, Kickstarter stuff's so cheap to make, well, and there's...
That, yeah, can we make like a statement that said that Family Guy changed the way TV could be made?
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Right?
Of how much a fan base and how much things sold and how it's like, okay, we need to get this back.
Well,
we don't have to burn any bridges. We can bring stuff back. There's no reason not to.
And think about that too, and how that has evolved. Because the Family Guy story, for anybody who doesn't know, it got canceled after about three seasons, and I don't even think they were very long seasons.
And this was
Fox
like
pulled
back
it off
in
the
like,
air.
What,
yeah,
03 or
this
something.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, it was before
I was
that.
In high school.
I think it was.
I thought
it was in the 90s.
It was late
90s
because the DVDs came out.
Yeah,
my first,
I think the DVDs came out in like
99
or something
second
like
year
that.
College.
Yeah.
Well, I remember buying the DVDs as soon as they came out.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. Family Guy was one of those shows that you know. A few people watched and loved, and then Fox did what Fox does and canceled a decent thing in its prime, or, you know, getting near its prime.
Yeah. Right.
And they just pulled it off the air. Well, when the DVDs came out, that's exactly what happened. College kids started buying them. The whole dorm started watching them. All these people who had never been introduced to the show.
Yep.
All of a sudden, everybody saw how smart this show was, and the DVD sales went through the roof, you know.
Yeah.
And they were selling more than anything, and Fox is going, man, we need more than three sets of this to give away. And that's the other funny thing, is they had already optioned Seth MacFarlane to do American Dad. So they hadn't really fired him. They were just canceled his show and wanted him to do something, you know, like they had faith in him, apparently, because they were having him work on stuff. And halfway through the production on American Dad, before it debuted, they were like, hey, we need more than three DVD sets of Family Guy to sell, because we can't stop selling these things, you know. So bring that show back, too. And so Family Guy came back after like a 2-year hiatus.
Yeah.
And has been on for like 15 years since then.
Isn't that ridiculous? Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Obviously, it's easier with cartoons, but look at Arrested Development.
And that's what I was about to say, okay. Because look what DVDs did for Family Guy.
Another show I
want to
watch, by the way. Oh,
you'll
love it. Seen Arrested
Development. It's great.
But it's on my list.
Yeah, but look what DVDs did for Family Guy, and now the distribution method is even easier than the DVDs. Because Netflix.
Yep.
Well, and look what Netflix is doing with the original series.
Thank you, Star Wars Clone Wars on Netflix.
Yep.
So happy.
That's another one.
I just started watching that this week. Yeah, because I was complaining to you.
Exactly.
How the whole Disney takeover at Star Wars ruined Star Wars the Clone Wars. Like, and I was totally cool with, you know, the whole Disney takeover Star Wars, awesome. But then they just ended Clone Wars, and I love that cartoon, and it was like at this really good point, and it didn't get a good ending, they just cut it off. Well, now all of a sudden, bam, new season on Netflix.
Nice.
It's so exciting, you know? Like
Netflix is doing it right.
Yeah, yeah.
They're taking it to another level, and that's literally after we finished the movie the other night, I just turned to John, and I was like, you could see Netflix picking these guys up for like a 6-episode.
How awesome would that
yeah,
be?
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be so cool.
And
you know
and
everybody'd
and
be
that's
on
the
board.
Thing. I was starting to get to this point earlier, and I got off on a tangent, but when the fans started clamoring for this movie, and it was just one of those things where, you know, not enough people watched a TV show, how are we going to get a Hollywood movie made?
Right.
Well, when they went on to do this Kickstarter thing, Rob Thomas is like, all right, you guys want the movie, pay for it, you know,
yeah.
Fund it, and we'll do it. And, man, everybody from that show was on board. All of the, anybody who you could even remotely consider to be a main character was...
Yep.
Super into just jumping right back and let's do it.
Yep.
Let's make that movie, you know? And so, you know they're hungry for it. The fans are hungry for it. It gives you, an idea how cool that show must have been to work on.
Yeah.
You know? And how fun it is to watch. And then B, it kind of just gives you that little bit twinge of hope of, you know, if this can come back in movie form, maybe it can show up in Netflix form someday. Yep. Or maybe all of these other properties I love that die too soon can come back these cheap ways, because these are, you know, these are the shows that people are passionate about. Maybe not enough people, you know, the big ratings shows are your episodic procedural shows on the networks. Like, they're fun to watch, and I watch a couple of them, and I enjoy them, but you don't get a lot of passion around NCIS. I don't, anyway, you
right.
know. Like, it's a fun show to sit down, and you can watch any episode and be entertained.
It's background at most.
I'm saying they're not bad.
No.
There's no emotional investment in
I don't
want to
sit down. But that's the thing, is we're moving into
I don't
want to
watch seasons of that.
We're moving into an era where you don't watch TV.
Yeah.
You don't watch TV at 8 o'clock for your show that comes on at 8 o'clock. You'll watch your 8 o'clock show whenever you want to.
Yeah. Yep,
so I'm
absolutely.
Not
going to
sit down and watch NCIS or any of the procedural stuff
yeah.
other than Castle.
Yeah.
But will take the time to do... But that's another point I wanted to get back to with Veronica Mars, is it is my number one show for Marathon, because I find that show hard to turn off.
Oh, it is hard to turn
off.
Very.
It's
so hard.
And it's not like
it'll
every episode, like it's not like every episode leads in like on a cliffhanger to the next one. It just ends and you're like, how good was that? Why would I want to stop? Let's get into just do another one.
I do feel like the story development is awesome on it too, that they lay out all the seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do this real quick, just so that if anybody has never actually seen or heard of Veronica Mars, let's kind of give a brief description of what
we
exactly.
Probably should do that.
Like, we've been sitting here rambling about how much we like it and haven't even told people what it's about. So the series stars Kristen Bell,
mm-hmm.
who, and this just shows you how little I knew about Veronica Mars, because I remember the first time I think I ever really saw Kristen Bell in anything was Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah.
And I remember at that time, Christina was like, hey, I think that's that Veronica Mars girl. And I was like, I don't know what that is. I was like,
I knew of Veronica Mars,
so,
and what it was, I had just never seen it.
Yeah.
So I was familiar with her, but not from...
I had always heard the name Veronica Mars. I had no idea what the show was about. I never would have guessed it was about, like, spy type stuff.
PI.
Like private investigator stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. So, like, the whole kind of plot behind the show is that her dad is a private investigator, and she has basically grown up in that environment, so she's picked up a lot of the skills and the tactics of being a private investigator. But she's in high school, and basically, like, every episode is her just, like, solving little cases for
right.
people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, like, such a cool format for a show.
It is a cool format.
Yeah.
Well,
they do the great overarching storyline.
Exactly,
and
right.
That's how, you know, every season is this big mystery.
Yeah.
And right. every episode is a little mystery that somebody needs help with that she's trying to solve while
the big mystery is still going on. Yeah, and sometimes those little things end up playing into the big one in the grand scheme of things, which is always really fun when stuff like that happens. But yeah, I mean, it's so intelligent, like you were saying. It's got such great wit and humor to it, but the stories are so engaging that, like, it's exactly like you said, the episode ends and you're just like, okay, next episode.
Yeah.
I'm not planning on stopping anytime soon. Let's keep going.
Yeah. No, like, as long as you're awake, you just want to keep going.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is the first time I watched it, because it was, my roommate at the time, our buddy RJ, he kept on telling me about it. Well, this is the same kid who just watches everything. So I'm like, okay, whatever. You've got this show, you like it. And he had a whole bunch of other shows that I couldn't stand that he loved. So I was just like, whatever, some other shows. Well, I got the flu. So I was like stuck at the house. I couldn't move. I was like in the bed, couldn't get up or anything. So I'm just like, RJ, pop something into my TV. I can't. He's like, perfect, Veronica Mars. I'm like, oh, whatever, just put it in. For having the flu and being on my deathbed, it was a fantastic weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I knocked out season one and two of Veronica Mars.
Yeah, this is totally one of those shows that I feel like you could be like, you got to watch this. And the person would be like, okay, whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
But then you show it to them.
It's because you literally have no idea. You're like, oh, CW show with the pretty blonde.
Exactly.
Kid.
That's all you
and
think
that's
of.
That's all you think of. But then you watch that show and you're like, this girl is
which
so
is,
smart.
Which is funny, because as much flack as that network gets, and you know, the history of that, I mean, it was the WB, and then there was UPN for a while, which was sort of like a WB clone, and then they merged together, and now they're the CW. And it's this weird, it's technically a network, because everybody can get the broadcast, but it's not, like, its numbers pale in comparison to any of the other ones. And it's got a lot of these weird teeny drama shows.
Type shows.
Exactly, but that's the thing. Niches. So we give it a lot of flack, because there's a ton of Carrie Diaries and Vampire Diaries, and Lord only knows what other
all
kind
these,
of diaries,
all these
you know.
Diaries.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
they make shows to fit certain audiences.
Exactly, and that. Yeah. But you stop and look at it and go, man. When I go down my list of like favorite shows, how many of them were on the CW?
Exactly, Buffy,
you know,
Angel,
Buffy, Angel,
Supernatural,
still going on. Smallville for a few seasons there was awesome. You know, I mean, it had its bad sides, but
they find the
exactly.
niche shows, and it usually tends to be teen shows, but they're still good.
Yeah, they're like, very
sure
well
if
written.
If I sat down and watched Vampire Diaries and actually just watched it for what it was, I'd probably really like
it. I bet you anything it's good. Like, I haven't watched it, and I don't make a lot of fun of it, though, because
I tried getting into that one from the beginning and didn't like it and stopped.
Oh, really?
But that doesn't mean it, like, didn't.
But they have its own audience, and I'm not going to bash
it.
That doesn't mean it didn't find its legs
Exactly. It was just one of those things where I was like, well, I'll give this a chance. Yeah. I watched, like, the first three episodes and went, I don't think I want to watch
that.
Then again, I did that with Buffy, too.
Remember how unimpressive the first season of Buffy was.
Exactly.
You know, like, it was just intriguing enough to keep you coming back because it was funny, but
and then
season two comes and you're like, this is the greatest thing.
This is amazing, right? Yeah. We need a Buffy episode.
But the great thing about Veronica Mars was you had people from the TV writers world that were in love with it. Joss Whedon loved that show. It was one of his favorite shows. Kevin Smith loved that show and just raved
about
it.
Hey, Kevin Smith was in it.
So was Joss Whedon.
Was he?
He worked at the like the rental car.
That was season two, wasn't it?
Oh, okay. Yeah,
they both just loved that show. They couldn't stop talking about it. So when you get people like that behind your show, you're like, okay, we're doing something good. And they do. Rob Thomas is fantastic. He anything he touches so far.
I love Matchbox
One.
What else?
He did Party Down.
They make I'm not. That's not a spoiler. They make a joke very similar to that in the movie.
Yeah. Really?
Had me dying.
Oh, that's
awesome. Yeah.
Oh, sweet. I can't wait to see that movie.
Yeah.
What's Party Down?
Party Down. He did. It was on Starz. It was about out of work Hollywood actors work at like a catering business, and they just go around town.
Is it awesome?
It's literally the same cast from Veronica Mars.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Everybody was in Veronica Mars pretty much was in at least one episode, if not the
main
cast.
You know, what's fun going back to a show 10 years old also is seeing some of the, you know, the occasional guest stars that pop through or just some of the people who are on the show. Like Amanda Seyfried was a big part of season one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I had no idea she was on that show at all.
Me either.
It was funny, when she first showed up in the first episode, I'm like, hey, this episode guest stars that girl. Also, every other episode. She's just in the show.
She's just in the show. Yep. You know what's really funny? I'll just bring this up just because it's humorous. So my wife watches that Top Model show, the Tyra Banks.
One of those.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess apparently around this time frame when the show was on, they did contests on that show where, like, the models that won the contest got to do walk-on parts on Veronica Mars. Christina recognizes it every time. She goes, hey, that's the girl that won the thing on Top Model. That's why she's on this episode right now. I'm like, that's ridiculous.
That's awesome.
She's done that like three
times.
Kudos
to your wife.
And it fits into the show because they show a lot of, that's what's great about that show is they show a lot of attractive people. But still, every guy's in love with Veronica.
Yeah, right?
Because she's so smart and she's not like all that. Man, that show's so good.
You know what I think is funny too is, you know, when you watch like some of the Pixar and Disney cartoons or any well-written cartoon nowadays, and it's perfect for kids, but you sit there as an adult and you go, you hear those few jokes where you're like, you know, that one was for me.
It was a
little risque, but it was above the kid's pay grade. He has no idea what's going on. You know, one was mine. I get the feeling that sometimes when I'm watching an episode of that show and a joke will come by, I'm like, I'm the adult here, and the censors are the kids. It flew right over their head because there was no way that should have been on TV. That joke was too much. But whoever was reviewing it had no idea what that meant.
I love when that happens. That's so funny. Awesome. So, I mean, it's totally worth checking out, I would definitely say.
Thing, too, is it's three seasons.
Yeah.
And they're quick seasons.
Yeah.
You know, you can hammer them out in 2 weeks pretty easy if you really devote some time
to
it. And we did. We sat down to watch the first episode, and the reason we took on this project was partially because we're doing this podcast here to talk about it, and partially because, and I talked about this when the news first hit, on the show here, just this Kickstarter campaign is the coolest thing that has happened to media, you know, the business of movies in a long time, in my opinion. Because this is the fans going, you know, hey, or the creators rather, just going out and going, hey, we know you guys want this, you love it, throw us a few bucks and we'll make it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it really puts the power in the hands of the people out there watching. Because if we love it enough, we'll throw $10 a piece at it. The cost of a movie ticket, you know, or however much, and we'll get the movie made, you know? And it really, it gives you that sense of accomplishment, and it gives you that sense that, okay, seriously, anything can happen. If they had Kickstarter 10 years ago, how many Firefly movies might we have had, you know, instead of just the one? And God bless the studio for giving us the one.
Yeah. Right.
But that's what I'm talking about. You get these passionate fan bases, and now you sit there and go, all right, we have possibilities now. We don't have to hope that some suit that doesn't watch this stuff will fall backwards into a good idea. We can kind of do it ourselves. And so I said, you know, I've never watched that show. I've always kind of wanted to watch that show, but I have to get behind this campaign. And I didn't hear about it until after they had raised the money, so I didn't actually fund the Kickstarter myself. I'd have thrown money at them sight unseen had I heard about it in time. I'll buy the Blu-ray and everything. I'll make sure they get some of my money.
Yeah, absolutely. I will too. I will definitely be buying this on
Blu-ray. Just to make sure. But, I wanted to support the format, you know? And that's kind of why we got into doing this whole thing. But when we sat down to watch the first episode, my wife was like, well, I'll try it. I'll give it a shot, because she likes to watch TV with me, so we were just kind of hoping. And we watched that first episode, and we both had this mentality of like, all right, it's a teenage show, so we'll sit there and watch. And that first episode, and there's, you know, there's murder, there's a biker gang, there's
dude,
sex jokes,
the show
and whatever
starts
else.
With a bang, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it's just...
Yeah, you know, and we're both just like, ugh. And I'm like, all right, I'm invested. I'm going to watch it no matter what. And I'm not appalled by this. I'm just a little thrown off. I had a bad feeling my wife might have been appalled. She's a little more sensitive to some of this stuff than I am.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I'm not sure if I'm going to watch three seasons of this or not, but I'll give it another, you know, I'll watch two or three more and see what happens. By the time the second episode was done, she was going, I'm going to watch the whole show.
Yeah.
We're good.
That's all it takes.
Two
episodes.
Yeah.
Because we were the exact same way. Like, we watched the first episode, and like you said, the way it starts, it is a little, like, jarring, because you're just like, what is going on here? There's biker gangs and like all kinds of craziness. This is the craziest high school ever.
Yeah.
Rich kids and biker
People
gangs
die
and,
all the time.
And murder everywhere. This is nuts. Yeah, but we were the exact same way. Like, we watched the first episode and we were like, well, that was interesting. And then we watched the second episode and now it's just like every moment of free time we have.
Yeah.
Christina's like Veronica Mars. Yes.
Yeah. Christy hates backing stuff up on the DVR or whatever, like knowing that there's like a set of shows there.
Yeah.
She hates it. So we're pretty intent on the few shows that we watch together. We watch them every week, and we went 6 weeks and didn't watch a thing other than Veronica Mars.
We've been having problems because our DVR keeps filling up because we're not watching our shows. So, like, we seriously, like, we couldn't even get to a lot of Veronica Mars this past week because our DVR was 100% full and we had to start clearing things off. Like, that's how invested we got in the show. We started ignoring, current television.
Yep.
I can't wait to go back and watch it again. I've watched it 3 times through. And I usually watch it with friends because I like to get friends hooked on to it.
Oh yeah, this is definitely.
So I watched it last time.
We're already set on hooking Jaren on this show.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. We're watching.
Like I said, I don't think anybody will not like this show once they start watching it.
There's just no reason to. There's you said that earlier, and you're right. There's not a. I've never heard a bad word about this show other than what is that?
Exactly.
Yeah. You
know?
Yeah.
Because the people either don't know what it is or they love it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's where we've talked about how we're getting together once a week and we're going through all these community seasons. And we're going to do a show about that soon. Man, we love Community. But the group of guys we're doing that with, Jaren, who's done the wrestling episode, and his brother hang out with us every week. And we've already talked about, because you fly through Community, I mean, we'll get through a season in 2-3 weeks.
Dude, we're going to be caught up with the current season in no time.
Yeah, exactly.
Community.
And after that happens, it's like, what do we do? And Jaren's already suggested, well, we need to let Kian watch Buffy and Angel. Because we haven't. And we haven't watched it in like a decade. So we're like, yes! And now I'm sitting here already going... But that's like 12 seasons.
Yeah,
maybe we should watch Veronica Mars first.
That could be good.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other, like, because eventually I got to get my wife all the way through Buffy, too, because she's only seen the first 3 seasons.
Yeah, mine keeps conking out on me, too. So, it's frustrating.
It's tough. Those are long.
They are long.
Too.
It does take a while. It takes a while to get through it.
But I just.
So good.
I don't know.
So
I'm very excited about television the way it's been going, because there are those. They're doing a better job of keeping these niche cult type shows going.
Mm hmm.
And it's such more exciting. You see, like you said, it's more passion in it, and it's almost like they're written for me.
Yeah.
Like they're written for my enjoyment.
Yep.
I'm very happy there's the run-of-the-mill Big Bangs and 2.5 Men for the big blanket of people.
Yeah.
But I want shows for me,
Big Bangs written for us, too,
though. I love it. It is a blanket show.
Well, now it's the cool thing to hate on
that's
Big Bang
what I'm
Theory.
Saying.
But
it's like you said
I still
before.
Love that
oh,
show.
Oh, that show's terrific.
Oh, I still watch it. I will never watch an episode more than once, though.
Really?
It's not my favorite sitcom like it is most people's, but I do love it, and I could watch it multiple times
and
still laugh.
That's a good show, and I still love How I Met Your Mother, and
I do too.
That
I'm
show's about
that
to
right
end.
Now. I know.
Oh,
it's
man.
A,
like,
it's
seriously,
wrapping
like,
up
a,
pretty
like
good.
2 weeks now.
Oh, yeah. Two more episodes, and
is next Monday the finale? Because they're doing
2 episodes.
Okay, well, I think they're doing 2 in the last night, so there's 3 episodes then, maybe.
Oh, okay. Well, they...
I think, it's the end of May, or the end of March is when it's supposed to end, so I don't know what today's date is.
That would be next Monday, then.
Okay, so, man... That's
sad, dude.
Yeah.
It is sad.
Like this last episode, the way they ended it, it was just one of those things.
Yeah,
it just gives you that oh man, this really is ending vibe, you know. And it's just
that's good.
It is good.
You know
though,
what we'll talk about that someday too.
Okay.
What else we're seeing along the veins of keeping television stuff going, and you never used to see stuff like this at all. I mean, I can't name a lot of examples, but. Cougar Town's popping to mind, and you can roll your eyes all you want.
Nope.
But
I'll say another show, too.
It did the network jump.
Yeah,
you
Scrubs
know, like,
did, too. Bill Lawrence shows.
Yeah.
He has no problem jumping networks.
That's right.
To keep his shows alive.
That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot
he's
Scrubs
like, well,
had done
who cares?
It.
I'll go to another one.
Yeah, I mean, people will still watch it.
Yeah, and that's
some
the great
shows
thing,
aren't
you know?
Meant
that's
for
what...
network
yeah.
shows.
Yeah.
Some are meant
like...
for another channel that's lesser, who's like, we don't need high ratings.
Yeah.
The show doesn't cost a whole lot.
You say the people that want to watch
it
are going to keep watching
you'll
it regardless
technically,
of what channel
technically
on.
Buffy did that.
Yeah, Buffy did
it jumped
that.
From WB to UPN
that's
back
right.
when they were two separate channels.
Well, that's because Buffy and Angel were on two separate networks for a while,
yeah,
right? Because
yeah.
that's when the
for
crossover
For the last couple
stopped.
Years,
because
season 6 and 7 were in UPN.
I didn't even know that. I watched them on DVD. So
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Because the crossover stopped when
they
jumped
networks.
Well,
they slowed down.
They slowed down?
Yeah, but because Buffy season 7, you still get some Angel.
Well, they had to, right? Because that was the last season of Buffy.
Yeah.
You had to throw Angel in there for
exactly.
the last season.
So it was really only one season that they didn't do any. But that's the thing. I mean, people love these shows, and there is a market for them. And you go, well, you know, only 5 million people watch your show, and maybe that's a low number on CBS, but that's a huge number on TBS.
Right.
You know? So you just, why not? Pop it right over.
Yep.
That's the weird thing with some of these procedurals we're talking about, too, because we talk about how... It makes me realize as a guy connected to the internet and kind of into a lot of this geeky stuff and really loving some of these, you know, episodic shows that tie together and that you can get passionate about, but it makes you realize when you look at the numbers how much of a niche we really are. Because we feel like, I mean, you get on the internet and all the internet talks about is the stuff it loves. So it talks about I mean, the Veronica Mars type shows and just anything that has that overarching storyline that the internet really gets behind. And you look at the ratings and you're like, man, like 6 million people a week watch that show. That's got to be huge. And then you go to any random NCIS and you're like, oh, 24 million people a week watch that show.
You're right, though.
And you stop and realize, like, the whole country isn't us young guys on the internet whatever age group we're in now.
You know, and you can...
It's old people just sitting around watching Mark Harmon.
Yeah. You know? Honestly, you can relate that to toys and everything, too, because we always feel the same way about our collectible action figures. Like the toy companies will always talk about how, you know, like, they have to make less of these, and that's why they're harder to get, and that's why they're a little bit more expensive, and collectors will whine and complain all the time about how these shouldn't be so hard to find, and we should be able to buy them, because we all love them. Look how many people want to buy them. But that's, like, a drop in a hat compared to, like, the actual kids' toys that are in the toy stores.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kids are who's buying all those toys. Yeah. Collectors and are a very small niche, and it's the exact same thing with the TV stuff.
And I remember that when I was just old enough to be frustrated by the toys I couldn't find and still too young to have any clue how any of the business worked.
Yeah.
And you'd go into the store, you know, and you'd be like, all right, there's 400 different Batmans sitting here.
Yep.
There's not a single Joker. Why are those one per case, you know? And then you realize it's because kids love Batman.
Yep.
And kids will buy 14 different Batmans.
And retailers will
say,
send us a bunch of Batmans because kids will buy them.
Yeah.
And then the toy companies are slaves to the retail demands. I mean, that's the way it works.
Yep.
And network and TV is all the same thing.
And it's all business. And that's cool. Yep. I'm fine with that.
Yep.
But we're lucky enough to... We're in an age where we do have a voice now.
Exactly.
Things can get pumped out because we demand it enough.
That's right.
It's fantastic. And the great thing about Veronica Mars is it's people... They will come back and work on that show.
And that's so cool. You know, that's
it's like the Firefly cast, where it's like, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, I will find time to do this.
Yeah.
Because we love
that's
it
so cool.
Much.
And the Kickstarter thing has been really, really amazing. And I'm anxious to see if any more movies and TV shows get funded because of Kickstarter, because I've already seen...
Why not?
Exactly. I mean, Kickstarter...
Even if Marvel's Avengers came and said, hey, do you want to throw a buck so we can add some more special effects
and
more Hulk to
this
movie?
People will do it.
Yeah.
People
will want another dollar.
Man, people... Like we see... I'm seeing guys like these indie toy companies use Kickstarter now to launch toy lines that they couldn't afford otherwise, and they're successful.
A lot of people,
I'm seeing video game companies who, when they have game publishers that don't want to produce their stuff, they're using Kickstarter now to get video games
made. And you know what's awesome is nobody loses. Because here's the thing: if you send the company, you know, a bunch of fan funding money, and they try a venture and it's successful, then you know obviously everybody wins. If they try something and it's unsuccessful, well, they didn't really spend a whole lot of money on it themselves anyway, and the people who did fund it get their product for however long.
Exactly.
Now, so everybody wins.
I remember the first big Kickstarter thing was the. I don't know who does it, Samsung or whatever. It was the watch with the phone, like you could talk into it. That was the first thing on Kickstarter.
Really?
That made a whole bunch of money to get it going.
Wow,
so
that's cool.
That started that. Yeah, and you can use Kickstarter for anything.
Oh, it's amazing.
Any product you want.
I've got some friends, my friends over at OctoberToys.com. They produce lines of little minifigures akin to muscle.
Okay.
Called OMFG. A lot of people out there probably know what I'm talking about, but what they use Kickstarter for to produce these toys, it basically works like a pre-order system.
Mm-hmm.
They open up a Kickstarter, they say, these are the toys we're making, you pledge this amount, you get the toy.
Yeah.
And that way, like, however much money they get pledged, they know exactly how many to make. They don't have extras that they can't sell. They don't, you know what I mean?
And that's always the great thing about Kickstarter is if you donate, you generally, to my knowledge at least, I haven't gone and looked at a lot of these things, but usually any stories I hear, if you put money in, you get something for it.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily dollar for dollar, you know, but for instance, Veronica Mars, anybody who donated $35 or more, I think they got a couple of freebies, plus they got immediate access to the digital download once it became available. So basically you spent $35 on your $20 digital download.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that's...
In order to procure the fact that it's actually going to happen and I'm going to get it first day.
Yep.
And the same day it hit theaters, they made sure. They went around and figured out a way to make sure that the same day it hit theaters, they were able to release that digital download. So people in their living rooms got that movie
right away.
AMC Theaters did.
So
you know,
cool.
It was there. And that's, you know, a little bit more than you would normally pay for a Blu-ray anyway.
Well, and a lot of times they even make it, like, pretty much the same price. Like, I've done lots of Kickstarters, and, like, one of the ones that I've backed that I'm really excited about is a video game called Mighty No. 9, which is the creator of Mega Man, who no longer works for Capcom, and Capcom owns the Mega Man name. He wanted to make a new Mega Man game, but he couldn't because he doesn't work for Capcom anymore. So he created a new character called Mighty No. 9, and he's essentially creating a brand new Mega Man game that's just like the ones he made for the old Nintendo, but with new graphics. He started a Kickstarter for it, and basically it's like, look, you pledge $50, you get the game on whatever system you want.
There you go.
And I did. Yeah. So I've got that game coming to me when it's ready. Yeah. You know, like it blew past like the goal, and now this new game is getting produced. He gets to make this game that Capcom wouldn't let him make, and he's going to deliver it on every system. So amazing.
Not
you know?
Just that, it's also a bargaining chip to go into other investments to say, hey, look what my product has already brought in just from people who are interested in it.
Look how many people want this.
Obviously, people want this. Let's start putting some money into it.
Yep. Yeah, it's cool, brilliant. Man. It's really, really cool.
I love it. It's capitalism at its best.
Do you guys want to talk about the movie for a little bit?
We'll give a quick rundown.
I haven't seen it yet, so I'm going to step away while these guys talk about it. I'm going to give my thoughts on it on the next episode, because I'll be watching.
Yeah, you'll have seen it by then.
So you guys chat for a little bit, and I'll be back.
All right. We'll give him a few seconds to get clear of the sound area, so... Can you still hear us, Dan?
He's far enough.
All right, yeah, he's good. Listening. Well, and a lot of times when we do movie reviews on this show, we kind of just run down like a step-by-step, and we'll go through the whole giant spoiler thing. I will throw out spoiler alert right now, because I don't know what we're about to say, but we're not going to give you like a step-by-step.
No,
if you guys
want to
see the movie, go watch the movie.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen the show, I really want to hear from somebody, and anybody in the audience who can fit this bill, please, you know, tweet me or Twitter me or however you say that, or email the show or whatever. If you haven't seen the series but you do go watch the movie, let me know how it hits you, because I want to know. Because
the
movie was
the big question we had.
Yeah, it's very entertaining, and they do give you a rundown at the beginning of kind of who she is and what's going on in the area, and they kind of introduce some of the characters pretty quick. But the movie is total fan service.
Yeah.
Which is awesome, and exactly what it should be.
Yeah, because it is a Kickstarter.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's made for the fans, by the fans, all that stuff. But it does make me interested to wonder what, you know, they make it where you can watch it without having seen the show, but how much do you get and how much enjoyment do you get out of it if you haven't? So if anybody fits that bill, please go watch that movie and let me know what you think. But, you know, Ryan, your thoughts on this first Kickstarter-funded fan movie, essentially.
I went into it the same way I left it, knowing that the thing with Veronica Mars is it's a show based on the whole season's mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said, there's the other shows, there's the episodic shows in between that, you know, don't have anything to do with it, and they'll throw in a little something to the big mystery at the end of each season. So to me, it's like, okay, how do they make a TV show about this? It's basically just going to be a 2-hour long episode, which, in a way, it kind of was, but it just, I don't know.
It felt like coming home.
Yeah.
Which is, again, exactly what they're going for,
yes,
I'm sure.
Because it's, how long did they say it was past the last?
9 years.
9 years. So it had been a long time. But everybody looks the same. That's one thing I found really weird. Like, everybody looks the same.
They really do, and that's the funny thing, too, is, like I said, we just watched the show, so that didn't seem that weird to me until they started talking about the time frame.
Yeah.
Because the show went 3 seasons. The first 2 were the last 2 years of high school,
right,
and then there was 1 year of college.
Right.
And then the movie picks back up at the 10-year high school reunion.
Yep.
So 9 years past what's happened. And the way they set up the storyline, like I said, when season 3 ended, there was stuff going on. I can't call it a cliffhanger, but there was just stuff going on.
Right.
And they didn't know the story was over, so they left stuff open. So you wonder, you know, are they going to pick up there, or what's going to go on? And they don't at all. Basically, the way they set the story up is it's like when the show ended, the characters all just cut ties, essentially, and went off and did their own things. And now, 9 years later, they're coming back, which was really cool. It's nothing I ever assumed they would do story, and that's why these guys make the big bucks for writing, and I just watch the stuff, you know? I never would have thought to do that, but it really gave you, as the audience, the feeling like you didn't really miss anything.
No.
You know, it's not like, oh, there's 9 years worth of story I'd like to catch up on.
No, it's
she didn't
exactly.
work a case.
No,
and she
exactly.
points that out.
It was, they go, well,
yeah,
that was
she's,
smart.
Yep, she's going to high school, or she's going to college in Neptune, which is the town that they're from.
Mm-hmm.
In season 3 ends, and there's no indication that anything's going to change there. When the movie picks up, they go, you know what, some stuff went down that first year, so I just cut off and I went off to Stanford. I stopped doing cases and I moved into law, and they just cut it off where, you know, clearly there's a little bit of stuff that's happened, but nothing where you're like, I wanted to see
you.
These seasons.
They kept her with you.
Exactly. You were in the dark, she was in the dark.
Exactly. That was smart. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Good pickup.
It was great how they did that stuff. And and they do, like we said earlier, everybody who's worked with that show was apparently eager to just jump back into it. And small part, big part. I mean, there's, I think, two characters off the top of my head I can think of that I would have guessed we would have seen that we didn't see. And that would be that Parker chick from season 3, who was kind of one of the roommates, you know, and she, you know, she was she was in the opening credits, but that show's weird about opening credits, too, I noticed, because they, both season 2 and 3, they added people who were only around, like, half the time, you know. But her and Duncan... I would have thought we would have seen at some point.
I don't think we would have ever saw Duncan just the way he left in the show. He never really popped in my mind.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, he was such a big part of the first two seasons.
He was.
And such a big part, you know, big part of Veronica's life and everything. But I would have at least expected there would have been some hint as to what was going on with him, you know.
Huh.
But you're right. I mean, the way he left the show, it made sense for him to not be around.
Exactly.
And that almost makes it better that you didn't see him. But everybody else, I mean, we haven't really talked about... I want to get into how much the characters I love in this show. I just want to talk about Logan for an hour.
So good.
God, he's awesome.
So good.
But format-wise, I don't know how we're going to
get
into that without going
into
it.
He's just fantastic, because he's a character where you watch in the first couple episodes, and you're like, this guy's just... He's not a good guy.
No. And then halfway through the
stars, he's just a creepy. But then he just kind of he's like he is in the show, like with you are Veronica, and he is who he is.
Yep.
And it's like I can't stand this guy, but he will grow on
exactly,
you.
Exactly. And then, well, and that's the thing, because halfway through the first season, you start to go, man, I hate this kid, but I'm kind of rooting for this kid sometimes. And then towards the end of the first season, you're like, oh, I'm supposed to be rooting for this kid, you know?
Yeah, they sneak that one out.
Yeah, oh yeah, it just comes
out
of nowhere.
Fantastic. My favorite character on the whole show is her dad, Keith Mars.
Oh, Keith Mars.
Keith Mars is one of those, he's one of those TV dads where you're just like, I wish that was my dad.
Yeah, well, and that's why, not to make every episode sentimental, as we do now as new parents, but that's the kind of, you know, the TV dad you watch and you go, man, I hope I'm that cool of a dad.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Not that I want to be the best friend of my kids. I want to teach them things, but I want to be open-minded and, and, you know, humorous and there for them. It's just, that's how you want to be. And it's just, it's such a fun character to watch.
Great character. Hilarious.
Yeah. Oh,
and the way her play together.
Their chemistry is through the roof, man.
It's beyond. If they just did a whole show just with those, a whole movie just with those two.
Absolutely.
Just
with Keith.
Yeah.
I'd watch it. The cool thing about the movie, well, one of the many, many cool things, is I'm going to start every sentence that way, the way that, like I said, they kind of bring you back and they keep you, you know, they keep that 9-year gap in the dark for you. But when they bring you back in, there's so many references to the way things were, and there's so many kind of throwbacks to the show. And, again, it gets meta at times. Mm-hmm. We talked about it, and now that Dan's out of the room, I'll go ahead and talk about it. You were talking about how much you love Rob Thomas, the name of the creator and writer of the show and director of the movie and everything, and who is also the front man for Matchbox 20, you know? And there is a point, not the same guy.
No,
you know?
Not
the
same guy.
Yeah,
same
two
name.
Different Rob Thomas,
that's
the same
funny.
Name. And that's why they made a joke in the movie, and I don't remember exactly how they worded it, but there's a guy who starts talking about mid-90s rock.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want to throw in a little of this and a little, or I guess mid-aughts rock, whatever it was. He's like, I want to throw in a little of this and a little of that. He's like, maybe some Matchbox 20, because, you know, I really love old school Rob Thomas. You're just watching it, you're like, yeah, I get it. You know, hilarious.
So good.
The other cool thing about the movie is the way that it felt like a reunion. It also felt like a beginning more than an ending. And it's one of those, the way, you know, without getting into too many spoilers, the way that they end the movie... On the one hand, I feel like I've got my closure. If they never revisit Veronica Mars again, I'm cool where they left off.
Because you know where she's going.
Exactly. Unlike the end of season 3, I'm content now.
Yeah.
At the same token, it also felt like it was about to lead into a new season.
Yep.
You know, like, they could come back on the air tomorrow and it wouldn't skip
a
beat.
You know what that brings me to? That brings me to the end of season 5, X-Files. They did a full feature movie, and it literally was just a lead into the next season, season 6. And I'm not saying this the same thing, because those were running seasons together, but it felt like that way.
Yeah.
It felt like, okay, the show ended 07. They did this gap thing. You explained it best with the whole gap part and how, like, everybody's left in the dark, and now we're just brought up to speed. It looks like she's back into her old ways. She's back doing the PI stuff with her dad, and it's like, okay, I'm ready. Well, I'm ready for season 4.
Yeah. And the other thing, the other cool thing, too, is that they didn't wrap everything up real tidy, but they didn't just drop, and well, I guess they did technically just drop a few things off. Like, there's stuff that happens in that movie where you're, you know, as you're watching the movie, you're going, oh, I wonder what's going to happen with this. It's not till the credits are rolling where you go, man, they never went back to that. But again, it's not meant to be just tidying everything up into a bow. It's her journey. So where you leave her, you're happy with. You know she's going to be moving on to this stuff, and it's just kind of there, and it leaves it open. But at the same time, if they want to do more stuff, and I saw mention, and I don't know how just off the cuff this was or if there was any seriousness to it. I'm sure there's not plans immediately, but it's kind of one of those intentional things, like, well, we're willing to do this. Because she had mentioned in an interview, a little side note where she made, where she's like, yeah, we love doing this and that so much, and, you know, I started coming up with ideas for the sequel before we were even done with this one. Now, again, like I said, I don't know that they're planning on a sequel. I don't know if they'll have the money. I don't know if they'll want to do another Kickstarter. They may never do another Veronica Mars thing again. But you just really get that sense, like, they want to always leave that door open.
Yeah.
And so this movie was the perfect venue to give you a feeling like, all right, now I'm finally happy with... It didn't just stop. It ended.
It's great.
However,
on so many levels of what they did right there. Because even if... Because like we said, in the movie, there's the one major mystery. But then all these little things do pop in there where scenes just really didn't go anywhere. It just ended. And it's more of... It's not revolving around Veronica. It's revolving around Neptune, the town. So it's like one of those things where it's like, this is not just... This is a story that revolves around Veronica and this one mystery, but there's also a town that's going on, and there's other things going on in this town. And it's one of... It's a perfect noir thing. It's where... Yeah.
Yep.
Some of the things just don't make sense.
Yeah.
Something just don't wrap up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not them just as being a show being like, well, we're leaving it open just in case. And we're kind of dropping hints to, like, the studio. Like, if this makes money, we can keep going. It's almost like, no, there's always going to be stuff that goes
on. And it's just kind of playing both sides of that. Because it wouldn't make any sense if every story were just wrapped tight in a bow and then it ended.
I don't like it that way.
So they make sure that, you know, hey, this is a living, fluid, you know, albeit fictional. You know, this town is moving on, with or without the audience or Veronica.
Yeah, and it's smart, too, because they're like, okay, we don't know if we're going to get picked up for some. But then again, the show's been off the air for 9 years, and we got picked up to do this. Maybe in 10 years.
Yeah.
Who knows what happens?
Yeah.
And then we can go back and explain some of this little other stuff back here that we left off.
Yep.
But it just seems like this is one of these groups of people, all these casts, all these actors and everything, just seem like they're going to be around to do this whenever it comes up. Mm-hmm. And they have no problem. And it's not like it's something that's gigantic and takes 6 months. You shoot this thing in two weeks.
Yeah, this movie got funded like last February.
Yeah.
I doubt it was written at the time. So between last February with them going, hey, we've actually got a few bucks, and this March, 13 months later, they put together a whole movie.
Yep.
You know, it really doesn't take much time, effort, or money to keep something like this going. And that's why I'm hoping if they pop up another campaign and say, hey, guys, we didn't make a lot of money in the theaters, but we kickstarted enough to where they'll let us do it again, I'll throw them $100 this time easily.
Heck, if they just wanted to do a Kickstarter TV show and said, hey, drop us $5 and see every episode, let's do it.
Absolutely.
I'll pay $5 an episode to watch that show any day.
Any complaints about the movie?
No, because it felt like a movie. That's one thing I was happy about. All in all, it's a 2-hour episode. But, well, that's all TV movies, though.
I mean,
but the thing was, is they did it on the level of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's some camera shots in there. Mm-hmm. There's some cool stuff in there where I was like, okay, that's
you
not
could
a TV
tell
show.
The production value
the
was
production
jacked
value
up.
Is up. So that's the only thing I want when I see my TV shows made into movies, is being like, okay, let's change a little things. It's like the Firefly. That's always my go-to, because it's literally one of the best go from TV to movie.
Well, it's almost unprecedented, you know?
Where it's like, let's just change a little bit here and there, just to show people that we got a little bit more money.
Yeah, let's make it bigger.
Yeah, let's give them a reason to go to the theater and watch this. And they do. They did a great job doing that.
I think the biggest example of a fail on that level I can think of, maybe the only example because it happens so rarely, is the Simpsons movie. And they brought that out. And, you know, I swear to you, when that movie was being advertised, I told a bunch of people, that movie's going to make $1 billion. Because that movie looks hilarious. And The Simpsons are so huge still, even after 20 years or whatever anniversary that came out on. It's just never going to stop making money. Yeah. Because the replay value will be great. It'll be like the South Park movie on steroids. Exactly. It's going to be fantastic. And I don't remember how much money that movie
made.
It made some money, but it was underwhelming. You know? Watching the movie, you just watched it and went, man, this is a really long Simpsons episode.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that in a good way.
Exactly. You know? That's what I felt like.
They just didn't do anything that separated it. I could have watched that in three parts on TV and gotten the same thing out of it. This really felt like they had at least upped their game.
Mm-hmm.
And cameos, guest stars, all the people you'd expect to see, and maybe a few others. And not even necessarily from the show. It's a Kristen Bell show, so you're going to expect to see Dax Shepard. You know?
But you'd love to see Dax
Shepard. I loved it. Loved it. Yeah, loved it. But even beyond him, some of those, you know, those younger, those guys in that age range who you would have almost expected to have been on that show.
Right.
You know, they just pop in here and there. And I don't want to name all the names, because if you're going to, you know, but there's some fun cameos in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even really a complaint. The only thing that caught me as a missed opportunity in that movie, and it's a very specific scene. I talked to you about it as we were walking out.
Yeah.
There's a point where a fight breaks out, and you got your usual fighters in the show, and then a couple of the other guys who aren't. Basically, everybody starts jumping in on this fist fight. And when it's all said and done, it felt to me like there was this great opportunity to show, like, all of the men in Veronica's life.
Yeah.
You know, standing tall and you know, you could have done this real epic shot where you kind of get them all in the frame and they're just after this scuffle, and I think it could have been super cool. And it looked like the camera panned over to do exactly that and then just sort of stopped and you couldn't even see them all, and then it was done. It was like they rushed through that. I'm like, oh, man, I feel like they missed the boat there. Now, if you make your television show into a movie and you do all this weird, you know, never-before-done tactics as far as, you know, how you're going to bring this and how you're going to satisfy everybody and how you're going to bring everybody back and how it's going to make sense, blah, 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 yada, yada. And all I can say on the downside is I think you guys missed one camera shot that could have been cool.
Yeah.
That's a pretty impressive run.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, too, where it's like, okay, that also could have went really bad and looked really awful.
Exactly.
Is what they probably thought, too. So, but, I mean... Yeah, I doubt they really thought twice about that. I remember you saying it to me, and I was like, okay. Yeah, it would have been cool, but it didn't ruin it for me. But yes, now that you explained it even better, seeing all the men in Veronica's life here in this one fist fight, pretty much everybody except for her dad.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like,
which would have made no sense for him to be there.
No, but it would have been funny. Like, if they did it as a funny way, but I don't think they were wanting to do it. It was just, it was an awkward moment in the movie. Where it would have been weird if they tried to go for that.
How many great jokes were in that movie?
Movie's good. I'm gonna go watch it again.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go watch the TV show again.
Should. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, we just finished it a week ago, and I'm already looking forward to starting it again. And it really is a quick watch. I mean, I will preach Buffy and Angel till the end of time. I think it's the greatest things that ever hit TV, and I don't think Veronica Mars is gonna top that ever. But it's shockingly quick how fast it got right up there with it. And I will say this much, it's such a quicker watch because it's only three short-lived seasons.
Right.
And they fly so fast. It's very possible I'll end up watching Veronica Mars more throughout my life just because it's easier to show people, you know, and get them connected.
Yeah. And going back to talking about how, like, everybody I know who's watched this show has not said a bad word about it. The more I think about it, everybody who I know who I've turned on to this show, at least once they finish watching, can't stop talking about it. It's one of those shows.
Any final thoughts on the movie itself before we bring Dan back in?
No, I think we spilled it all.
Go watch it, guys.
Just go watch it.
Yeah, go check out the show. And it's not going to be in theaters.
Don't take it as it's going to be the greatest mystery movie you ever saw, too. It's not even about the mystery.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be. It's about total fan service.
Yeah.
Total fan service. So that's the thing.
It's about the characters and the people.
Go check out the show. It's a quick watch. Yeah. You can get it on Amazon Prime, the direct video, or you can get the DVDs cheap pretty much anywhere. Watch them. It won't take you long. And check out the movie. It's not going to be in theaters long enough for you to watch three seasons and go see it.
Yeah.
But the digital video download is already available through Amazon and iTunes, and I'm sure the Blu-ray won't be far behind. So you'll have an opportunity to see this if you want to. Go check out the show. Let us know what you think. But seriously, if you guys are, I hate to say marshmallows because I think it's a silly name. If you're Veronica Mars fans, let us know.
It is a silly name.
I just want to talk to more people who are familiar with the show.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, they even referenced that in the movie.
What's that?
The name of the fandom. You know, she even calls herself a marshmallow at the very beginning. And that's the thing. There's just so many in-jokes and in-gags and in-references. It's just totally cool. So if you guys are familiar with it, please contact us and let us know what your thoughts are. And I really would like to hear from anybody out there who has no idea what the show is like but is willing to sit down and watch the movie for me, just to let me know what it's like from the perspective of somebody who's not familiar with it. So we'll quiet down about the movie now. Dan's back.
How was your discussion?
It was a lot longer than I thought.
You guys didn't curse a lot, so I have to go back and listen to it and edit it.
Stop.
I stopped myself.
Yeah, actually,
I was like,
I sat here and watched Ryan stumble a couple of times, going, I know what word can I say. You were talking about Logan.
I was talking about Logan.
He's a real.
What word can I say? He's a prick.
Yeah, that's a good word. That's a good word.
Yeah. So
it was a good movie then?
Terrific.
It was awesome?
Yeah.
Terrific.
I'm excited to see it.
Total fan service, man.
Oh, man, I'm excited.
You know, yeah. I want to watch it with you. I really do.
Sweet. Well, that's really cool, man. This whole show is just so awesome, and I'm so glad we decided to actually, sit down to do this.
Quick thought about it, without talking about what the movie's actually about, and we've talked about it being such a quick watch on the show and how rewatchable it is. I think I have a theory now that just popped in my head. In time, this movie will also serve double value as a way to go back and catch up on the show. Like, if you ever really just need your Veronica Mars fix, you won't have to go back and go, man, I really need to spend a weekend watching seasons 1 and 2. You can just go back and watch the movie at any point and get pretty much everything you want.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you also think that the movie will work to introduce people to the series?
Well, that's exactly what I was talking about as you were coming in. I really want somebody out here who's listening to this show that has never seen the series at all to go out and watch the movie for me. Or for us, let us know what they think.
Because they
do set you up, they tell you everything that went on and how it goes, and again, this is right at the very beginning, so it won't spoil anything for you at all, but we talked about it when you were gone. The movie starts off, you know, it's 9 years after season 3 ends, and they've really just, they've set it up in a way that everything sort of stopped and changed and went different. And now it's coming back to that lifestyle. Yeah. So you really feel like you didn't miss anything
in that nine years.
And you'll
everything
understand when you watch it how it happens.
Nice.
So they do that, and they give you a setup for who everybody is and kind of what went down back in the day, and then the movie starts.
Yeah.
My question is, because there's so many in-jokes and in-references and in you know, things that kind of relate back, not that are pertinent to the story, that are just fun to listen to, are people going to catch that there's references they're missing, and are they still going to be entertained enough to say that they enjoy the movie?
Right.
I think so, but I would like to hear someone's actual opinion of that.
Awesome.
It's hard. As people who do love the show, it's hard to separate.
Yeah.
Sweet. That's
awesome. There are exceptions in films, but usually whenever they do the big jump movies, it's usually like a action or sci-fi thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a simple mystery type show.
Mm-hmm. And that's what this is. It's just, it's a murder mystery.
Yeah.
You know?
Cool, man. Well, there you go, guys. I think that pretty much sums up exactly how we feel about the whole thing. Seriously, like, if you've ever wanted to watch it, or if you've even never heard of it before, when you're looking for something, like, you're just looking for something to check out, something new you want to watch, give this a shot. I really do think you'll enjoy it. I think I want to test Ryan's theory about if this is a show that anybody can watch and enjoy. Because that's, I think it is. I really do. Yeah. I think everybody out there would really like this.
And that's the, you pointed it out. I've never heard a bad word about it. I know a lot of people who've never seen it. I've never heard anybody say, eh, I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
You know?
Awesome. Cool. And you were just talking about, too, wanting to hear from people. And that's actually going to bring this up, because this is something we had talked about a little bit last week. So I want to throw this out there now. One of the things Jonathan and I want to start doing on this show is having a segment on here where we do hear from some of our listeners. We want to do sort of like a shout-out slash questions kind of thing. So if you guys do have specific thoughts or specific questions or specific topics you want to bring up to us, go ahead and post them on the post here on pixel-dan.com. There's always a comment section right there on the Geek Easy podcast. Anything that you want to ask us or talk to us about that we could bring up in that segment on the show, that would be awesome. Or if you also want to go the route of Twitter, go ahead and tweet at either myself, at Pixel Dan, or John, or the combination of us. It's at JLeonard31 is your Twitter. Use the hashtag Geek Easy Podcast. That way I can easily find your questions. And then we'll start doing like a segment on here. We'll at least give it a shot and see how it works out. Yeah. And we'll answer some of your questions and give you guys some shout-outs here on the show. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. We would love that. And just to hear opinions and stuff.
Yeah,
because I love reading the comments.
Yeah. And I don't even necessarily mean opinions on the show. I just mean like opinions on the stuff we're talking about.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because I want to know how wrong I am on some of this stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I know there's people out there that don't always agree with everything we're saying, and you know, we're always up for you know, kind of discussing that kind of stuff. Yeah. Or you know, even if you just have silly questions you want to ask us, ask away, man. Yeah.
No questions too silly.
Yeah, exactly. We'll definitely bring it up. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
I feel like I just challenged the internet.
Challenge accepted. That's what the internet just
question too silly.
So let's go ahead and do hold on, what am I trying to say here?
Words, Dan.
Words.
Use your words.
Words.
Are we leaving?
We are going to end things off, okay. But first, Ryan, is there anything that you'd like to plug or anything like that?
One
on
more
our way
plug?
Up?
Oh, God.
You need to start a Twitter.
You don't
we'll
have a Twitter.
I know,
we'll
I don't
start
have a Twitter.
Plugging the snot
go
out
through,
of it.
Go through John. He can tweet
John.
My tweets. I will plug. I'm hopefully going to be starting to work on the new Fantastic Four movie called The Fantastic Four.
Yeah, you have to let us know how that goes.
Yeah,
we're a little. we're not sure how we feel about it.
Well, it's hopefully work on that. But there's slight chance I might get on the Ant-Man movie, which I would.
Yeah, go for that one.
Do it.
No. Yeah. The scheduling's not in my favor, but and like I said, who knows if you know Paul Rudd or Michael Douglas need.
You know, that
assistance.
Sounds like an okay problem to have.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if I'm gonna work on Fantastic Four or Ant Man, but I think you're gonna be okay either way. Yeah.
I gotta find something else to fill in before I do the Oscars next year. It's tough.
Sounds tough. Yeah, sounds tough.
I'm slumming it.
How about you, Jonathan?
Follow me at JLeonard31 on Twitter. Follow me and keep in contact with me because I'm more reactionary on Twitter than I am actionary, I guess.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I react more than I proact.
True.
So let me know your thoughts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Do we want to plug our upcoming shows? Because April's going to be a big month.
Yes,
right?
April is a big month. So absolutely, go for it.
April 6th, for all wrestling fans out there, is the big one, WrestleMania this year.
WrestleMania!
Dan and I and our other friends will be doing what we always do, getting together as early in the morning as we can and just start watching Mania matches until the pay-per-view starts at 6.
Yes.
And then we'll watch the pay-per-view, and then we'll probably be far too tired to podcast right afterwards, but sometime that week we'll do a whole...
Yes.
We'll have Jaren back on.
Yes.
We'll do a whole WrestleMania episode.
Absolutely.
Right before April 6th is the big one for movie fans and comic fans out there. That's April 4th. That weekend is Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Winter Soldier is opening up, which you know if you've listened to this show at all, even just today.
Yeah.
How juiced we are for that movie.
See, if you're listening to this episode right now, you know.
Yep. So we're going to do a whole episode on that. So April, there's a very decent chance you'll actually get 3 episodes.
That's
of
right.
Geek Easy.
If all goes according to plan, there's going to be 2 episodes almost back-to-back right at the beginning of April.
Yeah.
Because we definitely want to cover WrestleMania and Captain America and do it while it's all relevant.
Yep.
So
we want to get it all out there. So stay tuned for that, and that'll be fun stuff. And as always, as we said, contact us. Let us know what you're thinking about. Beyond just doing a shout-out section of the show, we would be more than happy to devote episodes to what interests you guys.
Yeah.
So if you got something you really want to hear from us, send us the idea. I mean, I can't promise it'll be the next episode we put up, but we're always looking for that next thing to talk about that we can fill an hour and a half or so with.
Absolutely.
So let us know what you guys want to hear, and we'll talk about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And guys, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at PixelDan. You can come visit me on the web at pixel-dan.com. And you can subscribe to me on YouTube, youtube.com/Mandalorian30 and youtube.com/ToyYak. Or you can just do a search for Pixel Dan and hit the subscribe button on both of those channels. That would be a huge help for
me.
And
please.
Yes, that way you'll always get the new episodes delivered straight to you. The Geek Easy podcast here can be found many different ways. You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on Stitcher. You can find it through Podbean. So whatever your desired preference is for listening to podcasts, you can find us anywhere. And again, hit the subscribe button. Give us a rating to help kind of boost awareness of the show. We would really appreciate your help. So we want to thank Ryan for once again joining us.
Absolutely.
It was awesome having you on here again.
It's always fun.
Yeah, it's always cool getting kind of the little Hollywood insight from a man on the inside.
Literally, I get like 3 days break and then to the next job, and somehow we always squeeze one in.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, hey, anytime you're in town, man, we're going to squeeze you in because it's always fun having you here. And Jonathan, we got to talk about Veronica Mars finally. That was
awesome.
I
was excited. Community's next on my
Community's next. Awesome. But there you go, guys. That's going to wrap up this installment of the Geek Easy podcast. So until next time, see you then.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast.